Remember the swine flu scare of 1976? That was the year the U.S. government told us all that swine flu could turn out to be a killer that could spread across the nation. And Washington decided that every man, woman, and child in the nation should get a shot to prevent a nationwide outbreak, a pandemic.
Dr. David Sensor, then head of the CDC, the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta, is now in private industry. He devised the swine flu program, and he pushed it.
You began to give flu shots to the American people in October of 76.
October 1st.
By that time, how many cases of swine flu around the world had been reported?
There had been several reported, but none confirmed.
Where did this so-called deadly variety of flu, where did it first hit back in 1976? It began right here at Fort Dix in New Jersey in January of that year when a number of recruits began to complain of respiratory ailments, something like the common cold.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Friday, April 9th, 2021. Thank you for joining me today. Specifically talking about a huge mass study that from January, in fact, that I think I might have actually touched on previously. And if I did, I mean, I don't see how I could have possibly missed all that I'm going to go over in this article today or this study about masks. But I'll tell you, I just can't even understand how, I mean, I can. So many things flying through my head. I can't understand how I could have missed this if I was looking for it in January. And then my thought is, well, of course I know how, because they're completely censoring and controlling all the information. But the point is, it's a really powerful, powerful study from January 2021 from Stanford that vindicates literally everything we've been saying about masks, from psychological to physical adverse effects to your body, you know, hypoxia, hypercapnia, creating issues with your mouth, and I mean, on and on and on. And then also about their efficacy in regard to coronavirus, as well as pretty much everything else. You won't be surprised to hear what they find, but what you will be surprised is that nobody in the mainstream media cared to talk about this at all. Ask yourself, at what point did it switch from trust the science to ignore all the science and only listen to what the mainstream media says about science? Interesting how that's happened, right? Because we've seen one after the other studies come out, one after the other, vindicating what we're saying. And all they can do is point to the same observational study they jammed through right in the middle of all of this. And ultimately, things that are off the peripheral of what they used to say we should be trusting. Random controlled trials, peer-reviewed information. None of that's happening on their end. You're going to be happy to see what we're going to go over today. We're also going to talk about vaccines in particular. And what we're going to talk about is the adverse side effects of these vaccines across the board, as well as specifically what we've already seen in regard to some of them specifically. But what the claim I made in the headline is what I want people to really consider. Now, obviously, if you break this down in specific age categories and certain types of, certain types of comorbidities and, you know, the way they game the information to make it look like certain things are happening, if you just look at one thing in one category, you could make that happen. But if you stand back and look at the full picture, it's very clear, especially with people that are under 60, that you have a higher risk right now of having some kind of a severe adverse event than you do from what they currently are telling you at risk at on the CDC website in regard to COVID-19. I was actually just watching something, I think it was on the Rebel, I forget which website it was, or YouTube channel, I think. But the point was what they were showing in regard to Canada. It was a Canada outlet. That's why I think that was the one. But they were saying that even their Canadian information shows 0% for not just children, but for 19 to 0 to 19, essentially. 0%, which ultimately was 0.003, I believe. But the fact that they're telling you you've got a 0% chance of dying from this thing, and yet they're telling you to take something that has a very clear track record so far, even things being suspended and paused all over the world, it just shows you that it's not really about your health. And I think we all know that by now. But as always, before we get into those two main topics, I want to start with a few things, notes from the ether, things that are out there that are important for you to hear that might be missed. You probably already heard, but things that are relevant to the larger picture as we've become, you know, accustomed to doing thus far. And this is starting off with something that I just had to include to me that it's just like, what I want you to think about with this is, okay, remember that we just talked about the Epstein discussion again recently on a different interview. And the fact that this was put to bed by the mainstream terribly clumsily, like we saw very clearly what happened and they all pretended like it went away, that they tried to pretend like Epstein was the end of this story. Oh, there we go. Bad apple. Done. It's all over. No, the reality is what we should be asking now, especially as we see this, well, first of all, ask whether this is some kind of massive campaign against this person for political reasons. Regardless of your stance, you should always ask that because, yes, they do that. They do lie about sexual misconduct in order to manipulate, you know, all sorts of things. But on top of that, ask yourself, how many more of these are there? Realize that that was what Epstein's sexual blackmail network was about. It was about getting people in these kind of precarious situations so that you could then use that against them and drive their policy. So as we see Gates being paid to excuse me, reading the headline for those on the podcast, Gates paid accused sex trafficker who later sent same amount of cash to teen girls. It's just, this is, as always, we shouldn't jump to conclusions, but I want us to, whether Gates or not, recognize this is very real, that this is happening. Sex trafficking, child trafficking, organ trafficking, in regard to how it ties in with your government or powerful people around the world. It's ridiculous that we're afraid to talk about these things, especially when we have something like the Epstein scandal showing us that it's very, very, very real. And you had us people like myself and lots of others telling you it was real long before Epstein, because of evidence and facts, but the media never cared to do that. And still they're trying to sidestep it, but recognize that this just is kind of getting buried in a lot of ways, but of course it'll be put up in a partisan way, but your government is the concern. I just wanted to make you think about that. How many more of these are there? Also, a good point that I want to start off with is make sure you know about the Greater Reset. I've mentioned a few times over the last so many shows or so many weeks and months, and the past one that I was unfortunately unable to make, but now this is part two of the Greater Reset, and I will be speaking. There's a lot of great participants. Dolores Cahill, I mean, you can all scroll through them and you can see a lot of them here. Richard Grove. There's a lot of good people. And there's more, I believe, that RFK Jr. just confirmed. I believe that's what I just heard. In any case, make sure that you tune in. This looks like it's May 24th to 28th. I'm going to do my best to actually be there live. Otherwise, I'll do it via, you know, streaming. But make sure you tune into this. Make sure you pay attention because this is the counter effort to what they're trying to do in regard to creating solutions. Not just pointing at something and saying, that's not the way to do that. That's a problem. You're a shill. Actually creating solutions on the other side of what they're telling you should be doing. That's important. Now, that's right. I wanted to point this out to you. Just this was funny. I mean, obviously we know how this works and how they're trying to game the way that you look at things online. But there's only one, the Greater Reset website. It's only one. You won't find him anywhere else. Very clearly says the Greater Reset. Not hard to find. But you can either search for it like this or in all one without spaces. And in any sense, what you get, as you might expect, is nothing but the Great Reset information. Now, obviously, you might even pretend like that's not malicious and they just think that's what you're trying to search for. But you would argue that at some point, maybe knowing how, you know, they're actually trying to give you information or believing that, that they would include the Greater Reset because it does exist. And it's obviously what you did search for. But no, you can scroll for 45 pages and you won't find it. Recognize how that happens today and how you can literally type in the exact website or the exact title. And if it's important enough, you won't find it. That's why Google broke itself to control you and the information flow. Just like Patreon broke itself to pander to the oligarchy, or YouTube is currently destroying itself in the same point because they don't care about truth or you or your accounts or your plot or anything you're doing. It's about control. It always has been. I also want you to know that I think I mentioned this, but I want to reiterate it. I had a great conversation with Tom Luongo, who I'm a big fan of his work. I've been covering and reposting for a long time. And we had a great conversation entitled Ryan Christian and the Censorship of the World We Want. Recommend you take a listen to this podcast. Really, there's a lot there to discuss and break down. Also, I want to make sure you know that this is the first time I'll be announcing this, but Taylor Hudak is going to be, interview Michael Yeadon, and we'll be probably putting that up tomorrow. She did that for The Last American Vagabond. So I don't want to give too much information because this is going to be a fantastic interview. They talk about a lot of really important stuff in regard to everything that we're constantly talking about on this show. But I just wanted to give you that teaser, let you know that probably tomorrow, maybe the next day, this will be coming out on The Last American Vagabond. Taylor Hudak interviewing Dr. Yeadon, and this is going to be an important interview. Now, censorship. I want to make sure you guys also know that James Corbett was officially removed from YouTube, I believe it was today. We saw this coming. We all knew this was going to happen. James himself said this was going to happen. He's been saying it was going to happen longer than anybody else. The point is, I still can't understand how they can do such a thing with the way we know he produces content. No, there is, in my opinion, I'm sure there's people that have different opinions or people that think he's a shill or God knows what else. But in my opinion, there is nobody above James Corbett in regard to his citations and sourcing his work, who doesn't just say things haphazardly, who says something and then researches it for a week to make sure it's correct. This is what James Corbett does. And it's incredible that he is being censored more than anybody in my mind. But as I said, unreal, but entirely expected, that James Corbett can be kicked off of YouTube for medical misinformation. The establishment is so desperate to cobble together its broken COVID narrative, which we will show you today, that it is exposing itself with such clumsy censorship as this. And of course, I stupidly wrote boycott YouTube. I meant boycott YouTube. Hashtag super you, which is coming this month, guys, and this will make a difference. But I just think it's unbelievable that this is, they're exposing themselves. And I think that shows endgame. I think that's what we're staring at. But as BitChute shared, you won't be surprised about, but it will still probably shock you to see, it's so blatantly stated, YouTube CEO confirms they boost mainstream channels at the expense of indie media and wants new global censorship rules. This shouldn't surprise anybody. Remember when they pretended that was a conspiracy theory? Remember when they pretended like we were all fake news, crazy madmen when we said they're controlling and suppressing content? Yeah. Now they're going, yeah, we are, and it's for your interest because we care about you. Who didn't see that coming? It says this isn't the first time that a YouTube executive has used a basement analogy to suggest that independent creators' coverage of the news is low quality. As she says, it's easy to make up content and post it from your basement. So we boost authoritative sources, which, well, of course, they leave out there and also delete content that goes against that. See, the problem is they built their platform on the concept of giving those people in their basements the ability to say whatever they want, to post what they want, to talk about their opinions. But now, because they clearly see that YouTube is being used and more important than the media, YouTube is now the new media. They see that. That's why they're aggressively trying to shoehorn themselves in, and it's making them look ridiculous. But now they're doing this and booting out the people that made YouTube what it is. But also the absurd point, as you might expect, is to pretend that we are all people in basements making up fake things. That is just, I mean, that is a broad brush. That's ignorance. You do not broad brush a hugely multifaceted arena of content creators or any subject with a broad brush unless you're intentionally choosing to be ignorant and reductive and simplistic. But that's what she's doing, and that's the point. And as I said, quote, make stuff up from your basement or, you know, cite random controlled trials and peer-reviewed scientific studies countering the mainstream narrative. Either or, apparently. Either one. This doesn't matter. Interchangeable. I don't remember voting to make Susan the truth czar. I see that coming. Oh, that's right. Voting doesn't matter anyway. It doesn't make a difference. So COVID clown world. I'm sure plenty of people were right with me until we went to the voting point. But in any case, recognize they are censoring content arbitrarily. No, not even following their own rules based on the idea that they're doing it for the right reasons. What are those? Who cares? Move along. Here is the actual World Economic Forum featuring Susan Wojcicki talking about how they are censoring things. And get this, thanks to a combination of technology and policy, machines have been fine-tuned to remove hard-to-find content such as hate speech, right? And other things that we won't include right there. Hate speech and cited source material about scientific studies that we don't like, or information countering the mask study, or, you know, and on and on and on and on. And just find hard to find content because they make it hard to find. And then they're going to remove it now anyway, because you are out there going out of your way to find the content that you want to see. And they don't like that. So now not only are they going to make it hard to find, they're just going to remove it altogether, which was always the point. I don't know why we didn't see. I mean, we all saw this coming. We all literally saw this coming. And people just wanted to be okay with it because they thought it was only going to be on the other side. And now they're seeing it happen. Funny enough, not even to dwell on this point that I said I wouldn't bring up again, Jordan Sherrington actually just tweeted yet again because he's also continuing to be censored by YouTube. And I disagree with that wholeheartedly. I think YouTube is ridiculous and authoritarian. And regardless of whether I agree with what he's currently saying or doing, they shouldn't be censoring him. But the point is the same. He was cheering on the censorship around January 6th, and now he is experiencing it. How do we not learn from this, guys? It's because they didn't. I think ultimately people know that's always possible, but just like to see their enemies fail. And that's selfish. Now, I'm not saying that about him in particular. I'm saying in a general sense, to do that with the sole intention of just going, yeah, reveling in their failure. That's what bad people do. Here's what I said in regard to Twitter, you know, just a friendly reminder that I, the Last American Vagabond, was censored on Twitter for sharing points and discussing inconsistencies around COVID-19 that are now being openly discussed and admitted by the mainstream media. But shocker, my account is still suspended. Not deleted, mind you, just suspended indefinitely. These platforms are a joke. Censored for truth. And as you can see, or on the podcast, as I will read for you, the image says, talk, but don't actually say anything. That might as well be the Twitter mantra. What's the word I'm looking for? Their tagline. Now, in regard to this manipulation and control that's stemming from this technocratic drive, along with these social media companies, I mean, or might as well be, I mean, that is what's happened. These social media companies are just the arms of this larger apparatus, as it would seem. But this is crazy to me. If you read what this says, this is, I believe, Instagram, but in any case, it's the same point in regard to Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, the same, you know, blob. It literally says how unsend works. If unsent messages, meaning you type something and just don't send it and just leave it there. I do that sometimes when I have a message to somebody, but it's late and I don't want to forget to send it the next day. It says, if you do that and just leave it there, don't send it, but it goes against their community guidelines, they can still be included in a report that can remove your channel. You didn't even send anything. You typed it. You thought it. This is literally thought crime. This is thought police, guys. This is straight up Orwellian. Never heard a term that continues to get more overused, but every day becomes more relevant and more accurate. It's just shocking. Here's something you might find a little bit unnerving. As Dave points out, The Future of Work from Home by Microsoft. Of course, Microsoft is leaning in to this new future that they were a part of trying to create. But here it is from Microsoft Mechanics, showing you this VR future, which I'm going to show you something else. A lot of this VR stuff is now coming up, and it's really unnerving to me. But here's the point. This person tags us, Jason, Slow News Day, Whitney Webb, myself, Allison McDowell, and they respond. They respond. Microsoft Mechanics responds with a robot head. I mean, this is Microsoft. I mean, it's a side account, but they have 135,000 followers. My point is, this is a very small account. Not trying to diminish Dave. I'm just saying in the larger scheme of things, it's a small account, 347 followers. He tweets this out. It gets one or six likes now. I think that's because of the six likes now. It was one like when I was looking at it. And Microsoft responds with one like and no other engagement. Why? Because we were tagged in it. And I would say probably more than anything because Whitney was tagged in it. We've already begun to notice that Whitney's been followed by people like DARPA. And clearly Microsoft Mechanics, different people that are seeing, oh, well, they're tagging those people. Well, I'm going to troll them with a robot face. That just is crazy to me. So I responded with COVID Clown World and got more likes than Microsoft. But anyway, they know and see what they see what we're doing. I hope we recognize that they're watching very clearly what is happening on our end of things. Now, Whitney had pointed something like this out in the past, talking about tracking and control and medical pre-crime and the way this is all going, about the idea of monitoring wastewater to bring this into COVID-19. And guess what? She was right again. This is as of April 9th, today. Increased levels of COVID-19 found in Davis neighborhood wastewater. So they're monitoring your wastewater, which, by the way, that's a hard one. I mean, the question would be whether or not that's like a privacy issue, but I would argue they're going to say no because you're utilizing like the public, you know, I don't know, who knows? They always have something. Anyway, that's not the main point. It's that they're monitoring your wastewater to tell you that we see a rise in COVID-19. Not that it's here, but we see it. Now just wait to watch how this ends up. I won't jump the point, but to what Whitney had pointed out is that this is how they've already built during all of this in the middle of COVID. They were installing infrastructure, water infrastructure like this in certain places. So then it could happen like this where they go, uh-oh, here comes some COVID. We'll lock down before it happens. And then since we locked down, it never happened. Well, perfect. Or was it never really going to happen? In any case, this is intrusive, alarming, and setting up the groundwork for the medical pre-crime world where they can shut us down with a switch if they tell us we're about to get sick or tell us we're about to have an outbreak. It says increased levels of COVID-19 were detected in a Davis neighborhood in early April. An email was sent out to the residents who opted into the notification system. And then we talked about this in the past. people could opt in and they would be notified, but they're monitoring everybody anyway. Quote, Healthy Davis Together tests wastewater to provide early indication of the presence of COVID-19 in our community. Increased levels of the virus that causes COVID-19 were recently detected in wastewater samples from your area. This suggests new infections may be present. They, you know, very obviously seem to leave out how exactly they tested that. I don't know exactly if a PCR test would even be applicable for this kind of testing, but it's not applicable to the kind of testing they're currently using it for. So who knows what they're going to do? The point is that it's all of their testing styles, other than the one very specific kind that we should be doing, which they're not, has a very high false positive possibility. So we have to ask whether that's what we're seeing here, but you'll see why that's even almost not even relevant when you actually get to the data. Experts say there's no cause for alarm. And you're like, okay, what? That's not what you'd expect, right? COVID's the most dangerous thing in the world. And if there's even a possibility, we're all in danger. That's how they've been kind of running with this, right? Well, now they're going, but oh, don't worry. Yeah, we see it coming, but don't worry. How does that make sense? Oh, well, let's find out. She added the virus. This is, oh, by the way, this is just strange. She added the virus is not transmitted through drinking water. Anybody want to explain that one? Is that just one of those arbitrary decisions they made so they could just not worry about drinking water, right? If it can be spread in your spit, I'm pretty sure it can be spread in water. So if you cough on a glass of water, you're telling me that it can't be spread that way? Or the argument is that it can't pass through your water infrastructure. In any case, I still don't think that makes any sense. But think about it for yourself, research it. And it says, and that detection levels of the virus in Davis wastewater fell after the winter months. The graph below shows levels of COVID-19 in the city overall staying about the same. Okay. The blue line, which shows levels in East Central Davis, is just slightly above the green. Okay. this is what they're raising alarm about. Quote, it's not to cause panic or alarm. Oh, good thing that was the final sentence and not the first one. It's a good reminder to double down on the safety practices that people are already normalizing doing in their terms of wearing masks. Perfect segue into the mask we'll get into next. But so they say increased levels of COVID. Okay. So, and it turns out that there isn't, though. Barely. So it goes up by one. And they go, oh, increase, danger. Exactly my point. This is why, this is how it will go. They write an article so they can say it increased, but it's not a dangerous thing, though. But you should be concerned and wear your mask and distance and everything else. Why? Because nothing happened? This is a simple fear-mongering tactic, and the idea is that nothing happened. It stayed the same. It stayed about the same. But they want you to be concerned and always be on fear, on guard, always. Everyone around you is possibly sick. Everything you're doing all the time is possibly infected, and this is how they want you to live your life, which is ridiculous. And now they're going to be monitoring your wastewater to tell you whether or not this is coming. This is the future. Also, bringing us into the next part is the fact that Biden is literally proposing, on top of the other, I mean, think about how much money has already been spent claiming they're doing stuff for you for under COVID and then giving money to their businesses or to foreign governments or God knows what else. Biden is now proposing a $753 billion Pentagon budget, which, by the way, will go well over a trillion, just like it always does. They never say that, but the reality is when you add up all the real military budget, it goes well over a trillion just because categories they pretend aren't military, but they very clearly are. A significant increase from last year's budget. So not only are we increasing significantly the military budget during a time when we're supposed to still be struggling, supposed to be is the point, we're only struggling because of their lockdown and their actions and their manipulations, but they're telling us we're in a bad way and they're going to make us spend $1 trillion on war. They're always going to spend money on war because that's all they care about. The war on you, the war on people around the world. And guess where that money's coming from? Your pocket, which it always does. While you can't feed your family. I mean, there were a few money points in here that I chose to rattle off later. Here's one. New Yorkers could be hit with a top tax rate of over 50%. New York, of all places. Right. So, yeah. So while you're struggling, can't feed your family, don't have a business, we're going to increase your taxes because we love you. All right. This is your government for you. Right. I mean, this is unbelievably ridiculous. This is in L.A., I believe, or it was Denver. No, that's Sorry, I had this. I pulled it off, so I wasn't planning to talk about it today. But in any case, this is, says they're just picking up people's entire homes with this machine and dumping them. These are homeless people, not even letting them take their stuff, which, by the way, is not new at all. But think about how incredibly disgusting that is in a time where people are being removed from their homes, like real homes, or people don't have jobs or can't feed their families, or people are on the move in their cars. How about some of those people actually are there because of government action of recent, not past? And they're just going to go in there and just remove them? God, it just makes me sick how they don't, how obviously they don't care about us. But to Sarah's point, not increasing the military budget, she says, not surprising from the man who's escalated the genocide in Yemen, bombed Syria, and is stealing Syrian oil every day, amping up tensions with Russia over Ukraine, continuing the war in Afghanistan, sold hundreds of millions of arms to Raytheon, and this is the lesser of two evils? Right. In any case, lesser or not, they're both evil, is the point. Lesser evil or more evil, they're both evil. Right? Well, how we rationalized voting for evil is just a testament to how ridiculous, how strong their propaganda and social engineering is. But bringing this further before we jump into masks, because this is relevant, I just want us to understand how much they've been moving the goalpost and how constantly things are changing. Right now, people all over are continuing to douse things in sanitizer and spray things down. And our governments, by the way, remember, we're already, the EPA's already approved. I already talked about this. Grignard Pure, which is a dangerous sanitizing element, which the woman I spoke to on the phone, which you can listen to in the interview, says very clearly, it's not lethal right away. And she's very clear about, no, you shouldn't have this around anybody, despite their own imagery showing it sprayed on people, not from Grignard Pure, but from the government, right? So the point is, now the CDC is changing their rules, saying intense disinfectants like the one the EPA has already approved, by the way, are likely doing us more harm than good. Now, does that mean that they're going to stop the one that they're putting out? Probably not, because we already see all sorts of things. The WHO says, no, lockdowns shouldn't be used, and they keep using them, which doesn't make sense, but nobody cares because the media is not trying to inform you. Well, they're now telling you, clearly, if you're still disinfecting just about everything you own to prevent the spread of COVID-19, it's time to stop. Put it down, guys. Stop making money for all the hand sanitizer companies. Stop making money for everything building up around this thing that we told you was always going to continue forever. You knew this was going to continue forever. And remember when I asked that back 2-3 months into this and I said, hey, if you knew this was going to happen for another 6 months, would you let this go on? Look, here we are. We're getting into year two, guys. Time to recognize this isn't going away. I don't mean COVID. I mean your government's authoritarian nature. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention updated its guidance Monday for how to clean and disinfect surfaces properly to prevent the spread of COVID-19. The agency now says, by and large, good old-fashioned cleaning with soap and water or detergent can protect COVID-19 against a COVID-19 infection just fine. So all this time, people were panicked and using hand sanitizer and dousing themselves and all kinds of cleaning and iodine and soap and water. Just like always. Or they're wrong yet again and want you to get more sick. Ultimately, the point is, I don't know why anybody would trust anything they're saying. Because it doesn't seem to be based on anything actually real. Every time, the reason I'm saying that in this case is because here is an example of the exact same discussion back in May 22nd, 2020. CDC clarifies coronavirus can spread from surfaces after an edit that caused confusion. Well, that's exactly what happened here, too. The Centers for Disease Control says they edited the website to change the guidance on whether or not you can catch it from surfaces versus person to person, and it created confusion. And it says it was not based on new science. Make sure you see that part. They're clearly telling you, the CDC says that wasn't based on new science. The change drew attention because it indicated the virus does not spread easily through touching surfaces or objects. The agency issued a statement Friday saying it's updated the page again. The new edits have not changed the information, but reorganized it, they say. So just remember, we're coming full circle to today where they are saying that's the case. So funny. No, that's not true. No science to say that, but now we're doing that. Think about how dumb that is. But it says when the first change was noticed this week, it said that person-to-person contact was the most likely way to transmit COVID-19. After that, the page had a subsection that explained ways the virus does not spread easily. That subsection stated that transmission was less likely through touching surfaces or objects. And then it says, quote, the change was intended to make it easier to read. Okay, well, you changed what it said, though. It went from that's as likely to being it's not as likely. So that's not easier to read. That's changing things. But because people didn't like what it was and there was no science to back up that claim, they just changed it back. And it was not a result of any new science. That's a direct quote from the CDC. The CDC said in a statement Friday, and this is after media reports appeared that suggested a change in the view of the transmissibility from the CDC. It became clear these edits were confusing. So here's the point. What happened was the mainstream media ran with this. This is back in May 2020, remember. They changed it, not based on science. The CDC simply edited their website. And the media then did their due diligence and researched it and found that it was incorrect? No, they blindly parroted what the CDC told them to and then were confused by how the CDC said, no, that's not correct. What does this show you? It shows you that the media is not, quote, trusting the science. The media is doing what it's told. And that was incorrect, or at least that's what they said then. The point is the media simply gets direction from these authorities. They're not following science, they're not even reading the science. They're doing what they're told. Now, does that mean some of them individually have done their due diligence? Sure. By and large, your mainstream outlets are simply parroting what they're told. And this is a perfect example. They ran and reported that now it's different. It doesn't spread as easy, but that was incorrect because they said no new science whatsoever. I recommend you check this article out to see how dangerous this stuff can really be. Triethylene glycol, just like polyethylene glycol, which we'll talk about in a minute more. Now, getting into the mask discussion, because obviously this is all very connected. The mask discussion is a big one that you know we have been talking about for quite a long time. This is Dr. Simon, I believe, maybe Simone, PhD in biotech. Right. So as always, doesn't mean that he's guaranteed to be right about everything. Doesn't mean that just because he says it makes it absolutely the reality is because that's the case. He has the right to speak on these things. Or I believe he has a right to speak on these things. Right. Doesn't mean you have to blindly listen to it, but it does mean he has the right to say it. And whether or not you agree doesn't mean you get to disparage his fake news. He's an expert and has the right to speak on this. It says a Stanford study emphasizes that masks don't work and wearing them cause substantial adverse health effects. Please share this information. Now we're going to go through the whole thing. I wasn't even planning on going through as much as I'm going to, but you'll be blown away by what this thing finds. Yeah, I'll leave you to look at this as well. I just want you to see that this PhD was pointing this out. Now, to start off, what I'm going to do is actually read you the conclusion, and then we'll go down through the rest of it, because I want you to first just kind of get the punch and just a real solid, see what this is saying. January 2021 from Stanford University, their conclusion, the existing scientific evidence challenge the safety and efficacy of wearing face masks as preventative intervention for COVID-19. The data suggests that both medical and non-medical face masks are ineffective to block human-to-human transmission of viral and infectious disease, such as SARS-CoV-2. Now, this is from language barrier, as usual, so there's minor things like that you'll find. But it says, supporting against the use of face masks. Wearing face masks has been demonstrated to have substantial adverse physiological and psychological effects. This includes hypoxia, hypercapnia, shortness of breath, increased acidity, and toxicity. Activation of fear and stress response, that's an important one. That's fight or flight. That's cortisol. That's puts your body in a very deteriorating state. It's not meant to be a long period. Rise in stress hormones, immunosuppression, fatigue, headaches, decline in cognitive performance, all these things being blamed on long COVID, all sorts of other things. Predisposition for viral and infectious illness, making you more prone to illness, chronic stress, anxiety, depression. Long-term consequences of wearing face masks can cause health deterioration, developing and progression of chronic diseases and premature death. Governments, policymakers, and health organizations should utilize prosper and scientific evidence-based approach with respect to wearing face masks when the latter is considered as preventative intervention for public health. What do you know about that? How many times have we been disparaged and discounted because we're willing to entertain, we're willing to review random controlled trials and peer-reviewed science from well-respected publications? I mean, it's ridiculous to say that out loud. Here is the study, Face Masks in the COVID-19 Era, a Health Hypothesis. Cardiology Division, Stanford University, Very important. Now let's go through this. I want you to see this. This is important. Many countries across the globe, well, let's just actually start with my highlights. Although scientific evidence supporting face mask efficacy is lacking, adverse physiological, psychological, and health effects are established. It has been hypothesized that face masks have compromised safety and efficacy profile and should be avoided from use. Introduction. Face masks can be medical and non-medical. We're two types of medical masks primarily used by healthcare workers. Now, this is important because what I want you to understand, as we'll go into in a minute, is the FDA's, the way that masks are currently unregulated outside of the medical use, right? What we're conflating, and I think they meant to conflate from the very beginning, is the fact that they called medical masks the kind that you can get from Walgreens. That's not a medical mask. Right. But see, this is the intentional confusion, because medical masks are regulated, the ones they're actually using in hospitals, but not your cloth masks, not the ones from Walgreens, not the synthetic polyester ones you can buy at the gas station. None of these are regulated. And that's the point. And you know why? I was actually surprised to see this, and I had forgotten about the relevance of this from earlier in this whole thing. But guess what else has an emergency use authorization? Face masks. From the beginning of all of this, an umbrella, as they call it, emergency authorization. We'll get into that. But you know what that opens up the door for? The ability to not have to have regulated face masks because they tell you you're in an emergency. So it's almost like every time they use that, it's an effort to hide the fact that these things are dangerous. That's what it seems like to me, whether it's vaccines, whether it's any of this, which seems to be creating the very problem they're using to justify their actions, sort of exactly how they frame their foreign policy. You know, saying bad guy over there is why we have to go over there. Turns out they made that bad guy. They armed that bad guy. So is it really that bad guy, or is it they're putting him there, right? Same thing. In contrast, surgical masks are designed to provide a barrier protection against splash, spittle, and other bodily fluids to spray from the wearer. This has always been the reality, guys. And any honest doctor, surgeon can tell you this, to the sterile environment for reducing the risk of contamination, such as droplet spittle, not stopping transmission of viruses. It's absolutely ridiculous to anybody who has seen this from before and talks to a doctor who's willing to be honest and candid with you. They'll tell you that I've never even heard that before then. There's that one doctor I just showed recently who said that very clearly. The third type of face masks are the non-medical cloth or fabric masks. The non-medical face masks are made from a variety of woven and non-woven materials, such as polypropylene, cotton, polyester. Those ones are all some of the worst. Cellulose, gauze, and silk. Although non-medical cloth or fabric face masks are neither a medical device nor personal protective equipment, make sure you heard what that just said. That they're telling you that although these face masks that everyone is wearing are not even considered protective PPE, which should shock you because of how many things they're using under the guise of PPE, which are how they're legally bound. But if it's not PPE, what does that mean? So it says, although those masks are neither a medical device nor protective equipment, some standards have been developed by a French standardization association to define a minimum performance for the breathability capacity. But that's it. And that's only one group in France. That's it. No other group anywhere, apparently, is actually regulating any of the stuff that we're currently using. Think about how crazy that is. They're telling us this is going to keep you safe, and we haven't even regulated whether they work in a way that we think will keep you safe. I mean, think of that. So if they haven't even regulated them, how do they know what way they need to be to keep you safe? Well, obviously because of the hospital version, but the reality here is that they are absolutely throwing these things out in the world with all sorts of different varying kinds from different locations, of different fabrics, of different lengths, of different thickness, and then saying they ubiquitously keep you safe. I've never seen something so ridiculous. Now, on top of that, recognize we just covered the story, the fact that about 90% of these, or no, it was 80% of these, come from China. That's not new, by the way. That's been a common thing for a long time. So are you telling me that Trump's administration, they all knew this? All of them knew this, and everyone is going China bad guy? Meanwhile, we're saying, so China set this up or made this happen or whatever the narrative was, and yet we're also simultaneously bringing in most of our face masks from the very government that we're claiming is manipulating this? I mean, God, I wish I would have made that connection back when that was being stated. But I mean, it's still sort of happening. We're still seeing the Wuhan flu and these different ridiculous concepts, despite the evidence not being there. Is it possible that China made this and it came from them and it's only them? Of course that's possible. Is it possible that it was only the U.S. government? Yes. I think more likely they were involved in whatever's going on here, the way that the evidence seems to point. In any case, it doesn't make any sense about the way that the rhetoric, their narrative is right now, that 80% of them come from the person they're pointing to. There's something going on here. Going forward, under hypothesis, and this is where it gets into the really interesting stuff. Interestingly, 99% of the detected cases with SARS-CoV-2 are asymptomatic or have mild condition. Now, he gets into the point in regard to how this is all based on PCR test. So I want to make sure every time he references asymptomatic, in your mind, you should think, or possibly not sick at all. Which, by this way, the science in these different studies have shown quite clearly, even including things like such as having a previous infection or antibodies from a cold, which is also a coronavirus, which then make this happen. So in any case, as he says, it's asymptomatic, which I believe are wildly rare in regard to COVID-19, recognize that it could also just be not there at all. 99% of the detected cases with SARS-CoV-2 are asymptomatic or have mild condition. 99%. Our world's worst pandemic. Right? How is this even possible that we're still saying this stuff with that basic data? It's just crazy. And it's way lower than that, in my opinion. It says, or have mild condition, which contradicts the virus's name itself. Stanford is saying this. It contradicts the name, severe acute respiratory syndrome coronavirus 2. It's not very severe, is it? How is this possible that we're continuing forward? Because this is an industry. This is I'm talking about how this has always been. There's a larger agenda driving this industry today, but we've already talked about the British Medical Journal discussion, HHS, where they call out the CDC more than once in the past about them manipulating flu numbers, lying about it, using fear, pushing vaccine agendas, right? If the HHS can call them out like 10 years ago, how is it that this is a fake news conspiracy theory that's not even possible? Because there's an agenda happening here. Now it says, although infection fatality rate numbers of a number of death cases divided by the number of reported cases initially seems quite high at 0.029 or 2.9%, this overestimation related to limited number of COVID-19 tests performed, which biases toward higher rates, which actually hadn't, this is an interesting point. Just all the other reasons we have to consider this could be, is inflated, manipulated. On top of that, and we're talking about PCR tests and PIC, pneumonia, influenza, COVID. On top of that, what they're pointing out here is this overestimation was related to the fact that they had a limited number of COVID-19 tests performed, which obviously biased it towards higher numbers to begin with. And that's how they play this whole thing. At any moment, so that's why we saw it shift from deaths to cases. It was however they could keep the narrative going. It says the case fatality rate is considerably less than 1%. We know this by now. This was confirmed by the head of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases from US stating, quote, the overall clinical consequences of COVID-19 are similar to those of the severe seasonal influenza. Right? This is a statement based on the facts. And now just because that's no longer what they're supposed to be saying, they pretend like that was never the case. It's obviously the case. And the numbers actually back that up now. Having a case fatality rate of approximately 0.1%. Guys, this is less than a flu when you can factor in the PCR false positives, the combination of flu and influenza and pneumonia with the COVID numbers, which they state openly on the website. It's a guarantee to be lower. In addition, data from hospitalized patients with COVID-19 and general public indicate that the majority of deaths, and we know this as well, were among older and chronically ill individuals, supporting the possibility that the virus may exacerbate existing conditions, but rarely causes death by itself. Exactly. Which means it's not really COVID-19 that is dangerous. It's the fact that we're all sick. We're all ill because of industrial disease and pollution and you know, but God knows what else, fluoride in our water and glyphosate and everything, aluminum, barium in the sky, all this stuff. And these are all facts, guys. And there's probably somebody out there that just went like, oh, here we go. Everything I just listed is 100% fact. And you could easily look this up today. They're spraying aluminum and barium because they claim they're trying to stop climate change. They're putting glyphosate in damn near everything to fight, you know, to stop crops from being eaten, but it ends up in literally everything, your clothes, your urine, your breath, it's everywhere. And this is all we've been shown. All these things combined are very dangerous for you. I don't know why that hasn't been, I mean, we all know that. So we are sick and this is being pointed to as if it's the case, but really it's probably a lot more than that. Probably a combination of things. It is not clear, however, it says, what the scientific and clinical basis for wearing face masks as protective strategy, given the fact that face masks restrict breathing, causing hypoxemia and hypercapnia, and increase the risk of respiratory complications, self-contamination, and exacerbation of existing chronic conditions. Although several countries mandated wearing face masks in healthcare settings and public areas, scientific evidences are lacking supporting their efficacy for reducing morbidity or mortality associated with infections, or viral diseases. Therefore, it has been hypothesized the practice of wearing face masks has compromised safety and efficacy profile. By the way, which they confirm in their study. This is the hypothesis before we get into the findings. Both medical and non-medical face masks are ineffective to reduce human-to-human transmission and ineffective of SARS-CoV-2 and COVID-19. Wearing face masks has adverse physiological and psychological effects. Long-term consequences of wearing face masks on health are detrimental. Breathing physiology. Now, what this goes through before we get to the conclusion at the bottom here is the different studies and the different findings that they have. And you'll find this first, you'll find one that you'll see a lot of the things that we've already discussed on this show, right? So it's funny that we have Stanford citing the very things we were pointing to that we were censored for medical misinformation. I just love continuing to point that out because it's clownish. I love it. I mean, I could care less about YouTube, especially because we're the new things about to be coming out. But the idea that they are censoring us for using the very things that are being pointed at in scientific studies just makes me laugh. They must see how clownish they look, but they don't care, obviously. I don't think Susan cares. They're there for much different reasons than running YouTube. That's what we need to see. Now, breathing physiology. Breathing is one of the most important physiological functions to sustain life and health. Just think about that and realize that what we're doing is specifically blocking that exact function. It says it is well established that acute significant deficit in O2, which is hypoxemia, and increased levels of CO2, hypercapnia, even for a few minutes. Make sure you understand that. Even for a few. So all these people saying that, that only wearing it for, a couple hours, or that doctors do this and do that all the time. Well, all of these things are shown to be incorrect and false for a lot of different reasons. Right here, obviously, what they're finding is just a few minutes can be enough to, as they say, severely harm. It, even for a few minutes, can be severely harmful and lethal. While chronic hypoxemia and hypercapnia cause health deterioration, exacerbation of existing conditions, morbidity, and ultimately mortality. It's very frustrating, I'm sure you can tell, to have this stuff be so plainly stated in a respected journal, scientific, outlet from a, it's just crazy that we can have this conversation and still be, like, where's any of the outlets? Where's any of them at all? No one's even tried to point this and say this is not real. This is from January. Efficacy of face masks. The physical properties of medical and non-medical face masks suggest that face masks are ineffective to block viral particles due to the difference in scales. According to the current knowledge, the virus SARS-CoV-2 has a diameter of 60 nanometers to 140 nanometers. Now, I've actually heard the numbers I've seen in previous have been much smaller than that. But in any case, it doesn't matter in regard to the point, because the point they're making is, while medical and non-medical face masks thread diameter ranges from 55 microns to 440 microns or micrometers, they're interchangeable. So we're talking about something that is plainly too big to stop. The holes are too big to stop what we're saying it's stopping. What they're saying is this is 1,000 times larger. For context, 1,000 times. So to be completely honest, a chain link fence and a mosquito doesn't fit the bill, right? We're talking about something far larger. I don't even know what 1,000 times would look like, but the reality is that's way bigger than a chain link fence and a mosquito. I mean, I'm trying to think of something different, like a tire and a mosquito. I don't know. But 1,000, that doesn't even make sense in my mind. 1,000 times is quite a bit. And on that point, I have this for a little bit of a size reference. So we can see the relative size of particles. Now, just for some frame of reference here, the top thing that you see is a piece of hair. human hair. The next thing down is a piece of sand. After that, a grain of salt. After that, a white blood cell. Way down here at the bottom is coronavirus. So realize how ridiculous it is to pretend that a face mask, which remember is what we're talking about here, 55, where were we? 55 microns. That's right, microns. In any case, where are we here? Going back to the image, sorry, I'm losing my place. So that is bigger than the hair, right? So we're talking 50 to 180 is the hair. So actually that's a good way to think about it, right? Think if you take a piece of hair, you could very clearly push it right through the mask, right? The hair would go through the fiber. So if a piece of hair can slip through that, it means a grain of sand can, it means fine beach sand can, it means a grain of salt can. And of course, it obviously means that the virus can. And on top of that, remember that the discussion is that droplets are what we're talking about here. And that is what that holds dead virus. Aerosolized particulates, which by the way, on top of this, they've already shown multiple studies that the mask itself is what creates that aerosolization, which makes it, I mean, it's almost everything that they've doing seems to be exacerbating the very problem they claim they're trying to stop. You probably heard me say this more than once. In my opinion, I'm convinced that at some level, they made these choices for the very purpose of getting you more ill. Now, whether or not you agree with that, the data is in front of you. Look at it for yourself. SARS-CoV-2 can easily pass through any face mask, according to Stanford University. In addition, the efficacy filtration rate of face masks is poor. And I've made this point 1,000 times, ranging from 0.7% in non-surgical masks, like your cloth covering, cotton gauze woven mask, to 26% in cotton sweater material. 26%. These are the ones you're buying from the store, guys. And as I keep showing you on my other mask studies, the only random controlled trial about cloth masks, it very plainly shows you that 97% of the time it goes right through. And that's the exact sort of the same thing they're saying here. 0.7%. That is your cloth mask, which the vast majority of people are wearing. It says in that same study that even medical masks are 44%. In this case, they give them 26. In either case, the point is that every time, whether or not you have a mask on, it's going right through. And the reality is, as the science shows, that all you need is one little piece. That's it. This concept of viral load, which they're misrepresenting, I went over that in a past show, that they're aggressively misrepresenting. The viral load is not about how much gets through the mask and gets into your body. I won't go into that discussion again, but the point is that plenty of people have pointed out, other doctors, experts, that's a fallacy. And I think that's a very clear, obvious one, and why they would want to do that. Why would they want to spread that fallacy? A random controlled trial of 246 participants who allocated to either wearing or not wearing surgical face masks, assessing viruses transmission, including coronavirus. This is one of the studies. The results of this study showed that among symptomatic individuals, those with fever, cough, sore throat, runny nose, etc., there was no difference between wearing and not wearing a face mask for coronavirus droplets transmission. And that's the point. Particles, the droplets versus the aerosolized particulates, right? Under 5 microns. That's the point. And that's what they keep saying. It's all about droplets. So it doesn't make a difference. Among asymptomatic individuals or people that aren't sick at all, there was no droplet or aerosol coronavirus detected from any participant with or without the mask, suggesting that asymptomatic individuals do not transmit or infect, or they're not sick, right? That's also the same point. This was further supported by a study on infectivity where 445 asymptomatic individuals were exposed to asymptomatic SARS-CoV-2 carriers using close contact for a median to 4 to 5 days. The study found none of them were infected. This is constantly the point. There was other studies in the past where they tried to infect people and they couldn't even do it. Not coronavirus, but in past other studies. A meta-analysis among healthcare workers found that compared to no mask, surgical masks and N95 respirators were not effective against transmission of viral infections or influenza-like illness based on 6 random controlled trials. Separate analysis of 23 observational studies, this meta-analysis found no protective effect of medical masks or N95 respirators against the SARS virus. A recent systematic review of 39 studies, including 33,867 participants in community settings, self-reported illness found no difference between N95 respirators versus surgical masks and surgical mask versus no mask in the risk for developing influenza or influenza-like illness, which includes COVID-19. Now, I've reported on every one of those. The WHO declared, now I'm going, there's a plenty more in here, 44 non-random controlled studies, but I've gone through most of these. And so I just want to make sure you see how well researched this is. The WHO declared that cloth masks are not recommended under any circumstances. Very definitive, until they just changed that based on no discernible science. Except there's plenty of science that says that shouldn't happen, right? The reason they said masks are not recommended under any circumstances before this COVID-19 mania went crazy is because of the one that I'm always showing you. I should pretty much just always keep this. So this is one of the best ones to include. But I just thought it's interesting that the reason they say at no matter what. Oh, this is the wrong one, of course. Oh, that's why I just went too far down. So you can see right here in their conclusions, and this is the first and only, as far as I can tell, random controlled trial of cloth masks. And it says the results caution against their use. This is an important finding. It says moisture retention, reuse of cloth masks, and poor filtration result in increased risk of infection. As a precautionary measure, cloth masks should not be recommended at all. Here's the study I was just mentioning anyway, 97%, 44%. So the reason they're saying that is because they know that was the finding. Masks are not recommended. Cloth masks are not recommended under any circumstance. That is when they were following the science. That's when they were actually following the science. Then politics played a role and they just changed it based on no new science. In fact, the CDC meta-analysis they did after that came to the same conclusion. And then they found they wanted something else. Think about how crazy that is. Remember that at the beginning, they all told you there's no evidence behind that. There's no reason you should have to do it. If you're healthy, you don't need one. And then just all on a dime said the opposite. And now we're seeing places like Stanford come out and tell you that this was always a lie, that they knew this was a lie. In addition to hypoxia and hypercapnia, breathing through face mask residues. This is important because we talk about the both on inside and the outside, and then you touch that mask and so on. Breathing through face mask residues, bacterial and germ components on the inner and outside layer of the face mask. These toxic components are repeatedly rebreathed back into the body, causing self-contamination. Breathing through face masks also increases temperature and humidity in the space, like we keep telling you, between the mouth and the mask, resulting in a release of toxic particles from the mask materials. Microplastics, fibers, all sort of things, and God knows what else has been put in there. A systematic literature review estimated that aerosol contamination levels of face masks included 13 to 202,549 different viruses. That's incredible. Aerosol contamination levels of face masks included that many possible viruses. And remember that these things are not regulated in any way because they're not medical devices. So when they increase the temperatures, that's why they create the contamination and release toxic chemicals and particles, because these are just pieces thrown together by companies trying to make a profit. Rebreathing contaminated air with high bacterial and toxic particle concentrations, which you absolutely have, as Stanford's pointing out, if you wear the mask for a long period of time or even just for an hour or more. Probably, I mean, it depends on where you are, obviously. If it's cold outside, it happens almost instantly because of the moisture retention, as the random controlled trial pointed out. But it says rebreathing that air, contaminated air, with high bacterial and toxic particle concentrations, along with low O2 and high CO2 levels, continuously challenge the body homeostasis, causing toxic self-toxicity and immunosuppression, creating the very thing that they're using to keep this going. A study on 39 patients with renal disease found, and we already talked about this one too, that wearing an N95 mask during a hemodialysis significantly reduced arterial partial oxygen pressure. This is one of the ones I've cited many times. Increased respiratory rate and increased the occurrence of chest discomfort and respiratory distress. So you know why this is being stated by Stanford? Because it's always been there. Because the science was always there, and they're lying to you. Thank God somebody, for whatever reason, decided to put this all together in a place where it could be regarded as legitimate. Because it's just, I don't care about getting credit for this. I care about people not dying. I care about our government not abusing our health to achieve their ends. Putting it on children's faces because they want to manipulate us. It makes me sick. So thank God that some of this is coming up. But you know what? It'll still be dismissed or it'll be ignored. It's been 4 months and it's still being ignored. Hopefully we can reach people out there and show them this is really going on. Let's get into the physiological, psychological effects. Psychological, and this is actually interesting because this is more about just how I'm going to actually have a conversation with Lindsay, I believe her name is, from Rogue Ways. I met her on Union of the Unwanted. She made a really great point about the psychology of this and about how what we're doing with these children is putting these masks over their features and stopping it. There's a level where you associate with somebody where they're feeling sad and you go, you know, you just align yourself with their feelings. You go, yeah, you know, I know how you feel, right? There's a word I can't, somebody in the chat tell me, but the point is that when you wear the mask, it stops that emotional connection between people, right? And this is creating a level of sociopathy. And I think this is exactly the point. God, it's so close to my mind. I want to know that word. Empathize. Thank you, Kevin. Good Lord, I couldn't remember that. Okay. Psychologically, wearing face masks fundamentally has negative effects on the wearer and the nearby person. Basic human-to-human connectivity through face expression is compromised and self-identity is somewhat eliminated. Self-identity, right? So remember, this is not some fringe blog. This is Stanford University. So what they're telling you is that your identity as an individual is being eliminated. And does tell me that does not exactly lead to what they're trying to create. I found that to be incredible. They don't want you to have expression of your own. They want you to be another mindless cog in the machine. Basic human-to-human connectivity through face expression is compromised. Self-identity is somewhat eliminated. These dehumanizing movements partially delete the uniqueness and individuality of persons who have wearing that face mask as well as the connected person. Reduced human-to-human connections are associated with poor mental and physical health. So we already know this. We're seeing how we have 100% spike in teen and child suicide. I don't know why that alone shouldn't be enough to stop all of this, but clearly they don't care about your children's lives. That every action they're taking, for crying out loud, is creating the very thing. I don't know how many times I can say that. I mean, every single time we find out, look at that. What they chose to do is making you sick. A meta-analysis of 91 studies of about 400,000 people showed a 13% increased mortality risk among people with low compared to high contact frequency. I couldn't believe that. So if you just don't see people, according to this meta-analysis, you increases your risk of death, general mortality by 13%. That's a study of 400,000 people. So now when you're not meeting everybody and just going, you know, Zoom calls and whatever, that is increasing your risk of death, your overall mortality. Tell me that they don't know these things. These studies were all done. Somebody out there knows this stuff and seemingly compiled it all and made the perfect plan to drive this population down, it would seem. Another meta-analysis of 148 prospective studies, 308,849 participants. You know, some little tiny study, right? Found that understand that these are more people than the entirety of their safety trials they're still doing. It says they found that poor social relationships was associated with 50% increased mortality risk. I can't even understand that. So if you don't have good social relationships, your life will be cut in half, apparently, according to the study. Take it or leave it. People who were socially isolated or felt lonely had a 45% and 40% increased mortality risk, respectively. Whole damn world feels lonely and isolated right now. What do you think that's doing? These findings were consistent across ages, sex, initial health status, cause of death, and follow-up periods. So anybody everywhere, all of you, anybody, if you're currently on lockdown, you have an increased risk of mortality. Thank you, government. These findings were consistent. I already read that. Importantly, the increased risk for mortality was found comparable, guess what? To smoking, and exceeding well-established risk factors such as obesity, physical inactivity. Do you realize that obesity is one of the top three in leading to causes of death in this country? Smoking being one of those way up there. And what they're telling you is that this is what they just described, being on lockdown, the social isolation is worse for you than smoking. An umbrella review of 40 systematic reviews, including 10 meta-analyses, demonstrated that compromised social relationships were associated with increased risk of all-cause mortality. All-cause. Depression, anxiety, suicide, cancer, and overall physical illness. Quite a boon for Big Pharma, it would seem. Encountering people who wearing face masks activities innate stress, fear, emotion, or excuse me, activates. And so this is the important, interesting part about the fight or flight response. I've talked about this before. Now, I guarantee there are people that will dismiss this point. Ah, that's crazy. But this is based on, I should have pointed this out before. Recognize that every single point being made by Stanford University is being cited and sourced to multiple studies, including what we're talking about right this moment. Multiple studies. What they're saying is when you come across somebody with a mask, regardless of how ubiquitous it is now, because of our previous understanding, you know, whether robbers or danger or whatever, it activates innate stress, fear, emotion, which is fundamental to all humans in danger or life-threatening situations, such as death or unknown, unpredictable outcomes. It pumps your body full of cortisol. What people don't know, though, is when your body's in your fight or flight mode, your hair stops growing, your fingernails stop growing, your immune system shuts down. It's because your entire body puts everything it has into keeping you alive. That's, you know, going back however many hundreds of thousands of years when you were like running away from an animal, running for your life. Right? So it gives you an extra boost because nothing else. But see, the problem is today, people are stuck in fight or flight for 8 hours a day at their job they're stressed out about, right? Or any number of things currently, every moment of every day for the last 2 year and a half because of COVID-19 illusion. Then you add the fact that you encounter somebody with a mask, you don't know who they are, you don't know what they want, are they going to be mad? And this creates that same fear. According to this study, the repeatedly or continuously activated stress-fear response causes the body to operate on survival mode, having sustained increase in blood pressure, pro-inflammatory state, and immunosuppression. Immunosuppression seems quite frequent. Pro-inflammatory is just like all the rest of it. It's creating a sense of systemic inflammation, which leads to damn near everything. It says, under long-term health consequences of wearing these masks, long-term practice of wearing face masks has strong potential for devastating health consequences. Prolonged hypoxic hypercapnic state compromises normal physiological and psychological balance, deteriorating health and promotes the developing and progression of existing chronic diseases. Hypoxia also playing an important role in cancer burden. It's just, you know, they're leading to more illness everywhere. Cellular hypoxia has strong mechanistic feature in promoting cancer initiation, progression, metastasis. Most solid tumors present some degree of hypoxia. What do you know? Shocking. With respect to mental health, global estimates showing that COVID-19 will cause a catastrophe due to collateral psychological damage such as quarantine, lockdowns, unemployment, economic collapse, and social isolation, violence, and suicides. So what they're telling you is global estimates, not one fringe blog, but global estimates are showing that their action, their quote, solution is going to be catastrophically damaged. We're already there. That's what happened. That's what we're actually living through is government solutions. That's what this pandemic is. And their actions devastated everything. I think it's for an obvious reason, an obvious agenda. In any case, still did it. Their actions led to the catastrophic destruction that we're living in right now. Chronic stress, along with the hypoxic and hypercapnic conditions, knocks the body out of balance and can cause headaches, fatigue, stomach issues, muscle tension, mood disturbances, insomnia, and accelerated aging. Wearing a face mask has been and this is the conclusion, which we already went through. Wearing face masks has been demonstrated to have substantial adverse physiological and psychological effects. And on top of that, They're not effective at stopping the transmission of viruses. It's unbelievable how clear this is. Where's the mainstream media? Anybody? Anybody out there anywhere want to talk about this? It's crazy. But I'll leave this for everybody to go through my previous mass discussions. These are some of them, but some of the best compilations. This was one of the earlier ones, November, the Great Mask Deception. But you'll find as you go through more of them that it's continues to compile some of the bigger points. Do masks cause bacterial pneumonia? 100%. Can they? Is 100%. Every time? I don't know. Can they? 100%. No doubt. The mask science is clear. If you are doubting science behind wearing a mask, watch this video. That was July 25th, 2020. Masks are making you sick, and it seems that's simply part of the plan. That was a compilation of a lot of this. It's very clear. I have an interesting theory, and really it's based on the facts and the science, that there is an issue happening, especially with the season in regard to the masking and bacterial buildup that is causing bacterial pneumonia. And it seems like a basic conclusion to come to, but it's big conspiracy theory today to even make such a claim. But I find if you have thoughts, go ahead.
Well, not my thoughts. They're the thoughts of Jim Meehan. I interviewed him on my podcast on Breaking Science. I'm sorry to interrupt, but Jim Meehan, MD, he said, if you mask all day long and you mask these kids all day long, they're going to get bacterial infections. Adults are going to get bacterial pneumonia. It's a given in medicine that that's going to happen.
A given. That was a clip from a previous show, but that's James Lyons Weiler, PhD, given, right? So some of the chat points out graphene. I don't know why that suddenly got the big focus. It's alarming and very clearly another reason to think and to be concerned about whether they're regulating or whether these things are being added or however you want to look at it. But there are so many other reasons to play. Like before we even get into the theories, we don't need the theories. The science shows you these are dangerous. Like that's the point. I mean, it's just incredible. But going back to what's happening on top of all of that, right? So we have the science. We have the actual science. This continues to not only show you currently, but goes through and compiles all of the other parts, right? I mean, that's all of the citations you saw throughout the whole thing. Look at that. 67 different cited controlled, most of them ran in controlled trials. A lot of them, all said and done, respectable locations according to the mainstream, citing the real information about why this stuff is potentially dangerous. Not potentially, why they are dangerous in the sense of how we're using them today. And yet, this is what we're seeing. Pregnant mom kicked off a flight for 2-year-old not wearing a mask. A 2-year-old who, by the way, was eating. Doesn't matter, though. About compliance, about virtue signaling, right? Here's a high school track coach who is fired for refusing to require his athletes to wear a mask, while they're running and exerting themselves. Because it's not like it can cause hypercapnia and hypoxia or anything. It's not like Stanford University clearly found that's a 100% clear thing it can do. This guy should sue and should win. But knowing where everything is right now, who knows what will actually happen? If you want more information on this study, I think I've already mentioned this in the past, but I wanted to reiterate this because it's a good example of how somebody who is it doesn't matter what I believe he's doing the right thing. But at the end of the day, he's allowing them to make their own decisions. That is suddenly no longer an okay thing to do. We can't allow them to make their own choices. What is this, a free country? Right? That's suddenly COVID world. We can't allow them to make choices. That could put my life at risk way over here. Can't allow that. This is crazy. This guy deserves to be vindicated, and I hope he will be. Keynes. Yeah, I do believe Brad Keyes. I believe we did talk about this. In any case, we'll follow up and hopefully we'll see something more on this. But this is everywhere. Because again, you guys, not you in the chat, but us in the country, the citizenry, we are the ones keeping this illusion going. They're relying on you. Because if you out there, the store owner, stopped making it happen, it would stop. I hope we know that. So, and this is a social engineering experiment. They're making you, just like they got you to go buy toilet paper, they're making you enforce their rules because they know they're not allowed to, or at the very least, they will set up a possible situation where they'll get some, lawsuits or God knows what else. Here's just another add to that. Paul, just been refused service at a Ford parts dealer for no mask. Showed an exemption card, just still refused. So not only, see, this is what, so in the beginning, they said, trust the science, right? even though they were saying don't wear masks at first, then they just change it based on no science, but they go trust the science. And so, okay, so all the companies, they follow suit and they quote unquote, trust the science and they make masks something, right? Then you get a lot of these states that say, okay, well now based on the science, we're going to pull back the mask mandate. And all of these companies don't follow that. So were they following the science in the beginning or were they following the science now? And at what point did they decide that they could just make their own mind? The point is, if they it could only be one or the other. The fact that they're continuing to do this is because they have been manipulated, socially engineered to think it's some sort of moral righteous stance they're taking. If their government just said the science says we don't need to do this anymore, you're no longer following the science. You don't have that same ridiculous moral stance you thought you did, but you never did really. Now you're just virtue signaling on something you think is a political point. Not Paul, obviously, the Ford dealer who refused him, even though he has an exemption, right? Remember that even at the beginning, even the state said, well, if you have an exemption, if you have pulmonary fibrosis, we're not going to make you wear a mask. Now here's Ford going, we don't care. If you have an illness that makes you come in, we don't want your business. That's called discrimination. You should sue them. And I hope you do, because hope that in a normal world, you would win, because that literally is discrimination based on your illness. Here is, I'm saying, wear a mask, right? Just a complete ass. Like, excuse me, just people that this is the equivalent of calling for the censorship and then having the censorship swing around and bite you in the butt, right? These people that think they're doing the right thing will eventually find out when they then tell them that you have to wear a bodysuit or a hood or God knows what else. I'm being facetious, but whatever their next pressured concept is that maybe Ivor doesn't agree with. Well, too bad, Ivor. You already kept pushing it this whole time. Now you got to follow suit. But you see, they don't think about it like that because he believes he's right. So he wants Paul to have to do what he thinks is right. When it flips, like the whole Jordan Sheridan thing, it will swing around and Ivor will have to do what he's told next, even though he doesn't want to, because you allowed it to happen this far. They'll never admit that. But understand on top of all of it that face masks are not regulated. And that's a big point. And why are they not regulated? Well, first of all, because none of these have really been regulated outside the medical use, because the ones they use outside of that were never used for the purpose they tell you they are now. That's why they were never regulated before this. I find that to be patently clear. But during COVID-19, guess what they did? They created an emergency use authorization for those non-medical masks. Why? Because then they could use them and they could claim that they're allowed to be used, even though if they made you wear them without the emergency use, that wouldn't be applicable, because you could say, well, wait a minute, they're not used for this, but they made them used for this. And that's when suddenly they shifted their gears and said, now everybody should wear them. And that's the science. Well, no, you just told us we did and changed the opinion. Face masks included surgical masks and respirators for COVID-19. Now, I want to point out a couple things they say, but this is the general discussion that was current as of today. Here's some of the points they make. Which face masks and surgical masks are medical devices regulated by the FDA? Well, that's a good question. Well, the FDA regulates face masks. When I first saw that, I said, what? Are they lying? Well, here's what they go on to say, including cloth face coverings and surgical masks as medical devices when they are marketed for medical purposes. Aha, okay. Well, anybody want to show me where bandanas are marketed for medical purposes? Well, nowhere. They don't exist. So that's the point. So that's a weird and obvious misrepresentation and meant to confuse the person to think what they're using is regulated. It's not. Cloth face coverings that are marketed for medical purposes are medical masks. And I would argue, I don't even know of a cloth version that's medical, so maybe they're just making that up. In any case, what they're stated right there is everything else is not regulated. We already knew that, but just make sure we're seeing that. If it's not marketed for medical purposes, meaning the ones you buy at the gas station, meaning the ones anywhere else, and I'll make sure that's clear to everybody as we go forward, because plenty of people might be thinking, well, they are. Right now, they're telling me it's for COVID, so it's marketed for medical. Nope, it's not. And they make that clear. Only the ones that are used for healthcare workers, doctors, and the way they're, and specifically the ones that are, you know, fitted to their face, where they're trained how to take it on and off, right? Yeah, that's real stuff. Face masks marketed to the general public for general non-medical purposes. Oh, hold on. Say medical purposes include uses related to COVID-19, such as face masks to help stop the spread of disease, surgical masks with antimicrobial. Yeah, okay. I was sure I missed something. But so the way they make that sound obviously makes it sound like the ones that are currently being used. I'll make it clear for you that it's not the case. Face masks marketed to the general public for general non-medical purposes, such as for use in construction and on other industrial applications, are not medical devices. Right there, recognize that a lot of people are using those ones for COVID-19. That we all know that. So right there is an example of how there's plenty being used that are not regulated and marketed for medical purposes. Going down, do face masks provide protection from coronavirus? I love how they frame this. Masks may prevent people from COVID. Sort of like how they said, well, it may stop transmission. We know that it doesn't now, but it may. And who knows? It may. It could make you fly. We don't know. Same way, may prevent people from... They know this isn't the case. I love how it's... And this people will read past that, not thinking that may is up in the air. Not that masks prevent COVID, as they keep screaming from the mainstream media pulpit. No, masks may help prevent it. The CDC recommends people wear face masks in public settings, especially when they can't do all the other things we tell you to do. Wearing a face mask may limit exposure to respiratory droplets. Oh, but guess what? Respiratory droplets have dead virus. And don't affect the spread of this of whatever we're talking about. It's been routinely shown, and even the CDC made it clear that it was aerosolized particulates, and still they until they quietly shifted back to droplets because they knew that it was destroying their narrative and large particles. None of that matters. So it doesn't actually do anything. By the way, what Stanford University just told you doesn't have any effect in regard to transmission of a virus. Then it says, if worn, are face masks, surgical masks, and respirators safe to wear? If worn properly, face masks, surgical masks, and respirators may reduce the chance of spreading COVID-19. Well, that's not the question, right? So the way they try to frame this is as if the only risk you have is by catching a virus, even though they're not even made to stop viruses. But they know, based on the science, that they, even the CDC has committed, that the British Medical Journal has posted, that we've seen Oxford and The Lancet, they've all discussed this, show very clear reduction in blood oxygen level or hypoxia, hypopnea, or any number of things we're seeing in the mouths. But no, that's it. They may reduce that. FDA cleared surgical masks and respirators. FDA cleared surgical masks and respirators. That's important. Not all of them, but the ones that they've cleared, which are only medical purposes, which are a fraction of what's being used today, have been used by healthcare personnel for years and have been worn in healthcare facilities during extended procedures without harm to the wearer. Except that I have on the record multiple doctors saying that's not true, that they have all sorts of issues with headaches and exactly what we're talking about. So they're lying to you. But on top of that, what they're saying is the ones they've cleared for medical use, which is very different than the one you buy at the gas station. And that's the point. And on top of that, healthcare facilities do not wear them for 8 hours a day. They just don't. I'm sure it's happened before, but you can talk to any doctor and these are the ones that are fitted on top of that, by the way, fitted and trained how to use. Down here, it says, why does the FDA issue emergency use authorizations? This is what got me on the mindset of whether there's even this right now for masks. Emergency use authorizations authorize the use of medical devices that are not FDA cleared or approved. Again, the point, so we all clearly see again that none of these vaccines are actually approved or cleared by the FDA. They are emergency use authorization. The Emergency Use Authorization Authority allows the FDA to help strengthen the nation's public health protections against emerging infectious diseases by facilitating the availability and use of medical devices needed during public health emergencies. Okay, so they can create this emergency use authorization to use things they wouldn't normally use, which then gives them this broad leeway, right? This is the point. And this is why I want us to understand that there was an emergency use authorization for face masks, which is funny because of the fact that it gave them the exact leeway to play with this field of things that shouldn't be otherwise used in this context. Right? Again, recognize the conscious choice that was made to create the possibility to bring in the very thing that is driving your illness. I mean, for instance, imagine the possibility that instead of doing that, they, I don't know, continued to prepare for the very thing they were telling us was coming for 10 years and had medical masks on hand for people, you know, like they would have done if they actually were trying to help people from not getting sick, like in their narrative, understand. I'm not arguing that we should be using those. So why wouldn't we use the ones that they are regulating for purposes of this kind? Because they aren't trying to keep you safe. To pretend like they just didn't have enough, and so they just authorize the use of anything in front of you is ridiculous. And even if you believe that, how do you not see that that shows that they are wildly incompetent and shouldn't be trusted anyway? Personal protective equipment refers to protective clothing, helmets, gloves, face shields, which, by the way, they've already said aren't even allowed anymore, but I guess they're still being used and people are still allowing it, which shows you it's really about compliance anyway, goggles, respirators, and or other equipment designed to protect the wearer from injury and or spread of infectious or illness. To help address concerns about availability during the COVID-19 pandemic, the FDA has issued emergency use authorization for certain PPE products, including face shields, other barriers, and respiratory protective devices such as respirators. Right? Doesn't seem to include, you know, cloth face masks. Interesting. On August 5th, 2020, the FDA issued an umbrella emergency use authorization. Right? I mean, we're all a lot more keen on what these things are now because of the experimental injection that they're forcing down people's throats based on something that's not even approved. So now suddenly when we look back and go, wait a minute, in August 5th, they authorized this emergency use, an umbrella authorization for all of these different types of masks with no regulation. How do we not see that for what it is? For certain disposable, single-use surgical masks in response to concerns relating to insufficient supply. Insufficient supply of exactly what they found that we would need months before this started. Event 201, the study before that, they all come to the conclusion we are not prepared, we need more masks, we need more this, we need more that, and none of it happens. So is 201 really about finding out what we need, or was it just about setting the tone for where we're going? Because if it was really about finding what we need, they're either the most incompetent grouping of people we've ever seen in our lives, or they had no intention of doing what they were telling you we needed. So they could then use the justification to go, well, we're going to emergency authorize all these very unsafe things that are not regulated that will be used all over the world and will point to as what COVID-19 becomes. This authorization, emergency use authorization authorizes the emergency use of surgical masks that meet certain performance requirements. Remember, surgical masks is what they call the ones at Walgreens. They're not medical masks. They're not even regulated. For use in healthcare settings by healthcare personnel as protective equipment to provide a physical barrier to fluids and particulate materials to prevent exposure, on and on and on. The surgical masks that have been confirmed by the FDA to meet the criteria under the emergency use authorization are included below in Appendix A, as authorized surgical masks. Okay, now I'm going to show you that list. It's interesting to see how there's plenty of ones that are. I'll show you in general, go through just a quick, there's a lot of them. But I said the table below includes a list of surgical masks authorized by this umbrella emergency authorization. Now, you know what's not in there? The ones at the gas station. The ones that you can buy online that were made by Joe whatever, right? They're everywhere. Or for that matter, the company that just opened up during all of this because they see that it's a gold rush. They're not filing for regulation or re-registration, registering this with the FDA, or they're just making masks and pumping them out because it's been authorized broadly and everything that's a mask is now being used. This cannot be seen any other way than allowing something that they know are risky or are dangerous. An unauthorized piece of fabric over your face for 8 hours a day? Come on, guys. There's no way we would have let this happen if it wasn't for the fear they drove into everybody. Now, this is interesting. You can even search here to search through these, but just take a look at some of these. Honeywell, right? Obviously one, on a lot of Honeywell, but you can scroll through and just see how many different kinds there are that they're authorizing, but recognize that there's way more companies than they're showing you here. Seems to be lagging on me here a bit. In any case, you can search these for yourself, but I want us to recognize that this action is what created the very risk they're putting you in. Just like with the vaccine, just like everything else, without actually doing what their job is, FDA, you know, regulation. And here's Dr. Fauci, unable to explain why Texas COVID cases keep dropping despite reopening, right? We don't understand. Why is this happening? Maybe because the places that are using all these measures are the things that are keeping you sick. I don't know. Not like we haven't been screaming this since the beginning of everything. I think it's just ridiculous how obvious it is. And it makes me laugh how they're pretending like we're so confused.
Yeah, you know, it can be confusing because you may see a lag and a delay because often you have to wait a few weeks before you see the effect of what you're doing right now.
Okay, so you know what? He he must know how dumb he looks when he says something like, so he's pretending that all of a sudden 3 weeks ago, people started wearing masks and lockdowns began. No, this has been going on for a year. So we're going to pretend like these places that are only seeing increases are because they haven't, we have to wait 3 weeks to see their actions take effect. I mean, who buys this stuff? It's that is a dishonest answer. Or the fact that Texas or these places are seeing decreases for longer than 3 weeks, for quite a while. So I guess it's just because there's a lag, right? If you want to buy that, you'll buy it.
You know, there are a lot of things that go into that. I mean, when you say that they've had a lot of activity on the outside, like ball games, I'm not really quite sure. It could be they're doing things outdoors. You know, it's very difficult to just one-on-one compare that. You just have to see in the long range. I hope they continue to tick down. If they do, that would be great. But there's always the concern when you pull back on methods, particularly things like indoor dining and bars that are crowded, you can see a delay and then all of a sudden tick right back up. We've been fooled before by situations where people begin to open up, nothing happens, and then all of a sudden, several weeks later, things start exploding on you. So we got to be careful we don't prematurely judge that.
You've been pretty clear of the.
It's just prematurely judge that. I mean, it's just very transparent, right? I mean, we've been saying this for quite a long time. And the idea that we're going to pretend like it's only. Sorry, I want to make sure I grab something really quickly. Here we go. This is for Erie in the chat. But just, you know, to pretend like it's just all of a sudden. Like the only just now happened. It's just like it's everything about their answers are dishonest. And you know what? I actually believe that even people who believe in some of the things that we're discounting with facts and evidence, they're beginning to see the dishonesty regardless. Excuse me. Because here's the point. Increases in coronavirus cases are happening mainly right now in states with stricter COVID-19 rules. This can only go on for so long before we recognize that what we've been saying is correct. And the fact that they're pretending like we can't explain this. They hear what we're saying. They know what our arguments are. They know that this is possible. And they're just pretending like this isn't even, we don't even know. It's the whole thing about like, we're baffled by this. And it's like, we're over here pointing to the answer and the science. And they know that. It says the Washington Post, nevertheless, blames a broad loosening of public health measures. That's not a joke, by the way. This is like The Onion. So the places with stricter COVID lockdown rules and mask mandates and blah, blah, blah are the ones that are seeing increases. But the Washington Post blames that on loosening of their measures, despite having the strictest measures. Do you think the Washington Post, you think it's lost on them? They know that. They're just doing what their job is, to misinform you. The CIA Post, you know how it goes. Here's the Newsweek from March 2nd. Gavin Newsom calls Abbott ending Texas mask mandate absolutely reckless. Jump forward, the 29th of March. Texas COVID cases dropped to record low nearly 3 weeks after mask mandate lifted. I think Lou Kriowski was showing this on a meeting of the day, and I just thought that was it's insulting to us to see how quickly they will shift based on. I mean, and look, understand as well, Newsweek, they don't follow up in here and go, oh, what we were saying before is incorrect. No, they'll sell this narrative and inside of it argue why you should still do all the things that that they're telling you to do and how this is some kind of a fluke. Don't get relaxed. You know, it's just crazy. But we can see clearly that what we're talking about is most likely here, that the fact that we're seeing the drop in these cases is because all of these measures, there was the lockdowns, the mask mandates, everything was what was driving the illness. It says, let's actually watch this first. This is just incredible.
Call it a COVID conundrum. In states with the strictest measures in the country, like Michigan, Pennsylvania, and much of New England, cases are on the rise. While in the South, states like Arkansas and Texas that have reopened businesses and ripped away mask mandates are seeing their numbers drop.
I'm announcing today that the statewide mask mandate will be lifted.
People and businesses don't need the state telling them how to operate.
So what might explain the apparent contradiction? One theory, differences in testing rates.
I mean, it's just so pathetic. I also have to point out, I always get a kick out of, like, these media cursed people are clownish, and they don't even realize how this clownish representation of what they think they're supposed to be. Like, do we notice that nobody talks like the media talks? Did anybody notice that? Like, the way they all have it, you know, call it a COVID conundrum. These people, what's the one he just say? The numbers have experts scratching their heads. You know, it's like this weird sort of like commentator voice they use, and you're coming, and it's not real. But it's weird when these are even just interviews when they're on the side of the road and they have that same kind of talk and flow and gait to the way that they, it's weird. It's because they're all trained to be like everybody else. So I find it to be hilarious. But we are trying to figure this out. It's a conundrum. Well, no, it's very clear based on the actual evidence. But difference in testing rates, wait a minute. Wasn't that what we were trying to point out back in the beginning? Yeah, but that was fake news back when it made our point. But now it makes your point. So please continue.
Alabama has experienced one of the biggest dips in reported infections, more than 50% in 2 weeks.
50%.
But it's also dead last in the U.S. for COVID testing. Only 56 tests per 100,000 people. That's a fraction.
Which is probably also why they have a low number, because they're not using PCRs to create false positives. They're not using PCR tests with ethylene oxide residue on these. To make sure we're clear about that, remember that they're not soaked or doused in, it's ethylene oxide is used to clean these things. And the vast majority is gone. But as I pointed out on the show, even their own information made it clear that there was a level of residue that was left, but it was just below the level that caused risk. Then we showed you that these things have the ability to build up in your body. So that's the real point. So I'll be careful of people saying that those things have this on them. And, you know, we have to be better than the mainstream today, right? Do not speak hyperbolically. We have to be careful. Just, you know that, because we're fighting against something that's malicious. But on top of that, you have the testing that does have that residue. And I find it insulting that we're pretending like this doesn't play a factor. They know this stuff.
What you'll find in places like Vermont, Massachusetts, and New York, where numbers are surging.
Isn't that interesting? What do you know? Where there's more testing with a huge false positive, you find more false positive cases. What a conundrum.
How much does lack of adequate testing have to do with the numbers that we're seeing right now?
When you don't test, you're blind. And when you're not testing, you have a false sense of what the real problem is.
Okay, so Dr. Aline Marty is saying something that is completely new, right? Never before in the history of this country or really anywhere has it been the idea that you go around and test healthy people to find out what's going on. That's never the case. So acting like this is the normal way we do things is completely a misrepresentation. But that's what they do. That's what media mainstream does. The reality is, we've never quarantined healthy people. We've never tested mass healthy people, not in the way we're doing today. So what we need to do is continue to get people get tested if they want to, if they feel that they're getting sick. Remember, asymptomatic transmission has been shown to be basically non-existent. So there's no real danger with that mentality. But when you begin to see them go, whoa, we can't do that, recognize that that means they're concerned about the testing stopping. Why? Why would we be concerned about stopping testing of healthy people when the vast majority have a near zero chance of getting sick from this? That's citing CDC information, right? We just talked in Canada, under 19, you have a literal 0% chance, according to their data.
Your community.
Another theory, COVID fatigue. In Michigan, where people are just coming out of lockdown for the first time in months, cases are up more than 100% as demographics shift.
What's different in this wave is these are younger individuals between the ages of 30 and 60, the vast majority of which are not currently vaccinated.
Texas, on the other hand, began reopening its doors months ago.
Right. So this is a place, remember, with strict lockdowns, not Texas, the other one with masks, the whole nine yards. So they don't know why it's not happening, right? Aren't those supposed to keep you safe? Well, that's what they're telling you. Well, it's likely because they are continuing to push those things which create that. Right. And their idea, their argument that it increased is because they're increasing their mass testing on top of all the illness. Remember, because we have pneumonia and all the different things going around that are being caused by these bacterial pneumonia by the mass, which has the same symptoms they're telling you of COVID, which is also infectious and it can be spread. It's contagious. So you could be creating your own little bacterial pneumonia pandemic inside of all this. And it would never be, we'd never even be able to tell the difference.
just jammed 40,000 people into the Rangers ballpark, many without masks.
A lot of individuals in the southern part of the U.S., and especially here in Texas, have already been exposed to the coronavirus. So many individuals already have coronavirus antibodies.
That leads us to the...
Right. It exactly the point about why, and not some, they do, all of them. Because as the NIH said themselves, you have lasting immunity after the COVID-19 natural experience, whatever you want to call it, the natural progression of COVID-19. That's from the NIH. In January, I think. So what he just said right there is you have antibodies from getting this from before, which means you don't need the vaccine, which means you don't need to wear the mask, any of that stuff. But that doesn't matter because that's not what we're trying to argue right now. What we're trying to argue is why this looks like the way it does. But you see, when you lie about everything, that's what happens. Because what he just said right there counters an argument that we're trying to make weeks ago.
Risky behavior we've seen in places like Miami Beach, Florida.
So it's risky behavior to live your life when you're not sick. Got it.
Where numbers have only increased slightly. And theory number three, that young people are acting as carriers.
Which is, again, this theory based on what, guys? What is it, NBC? Based on science or based on reaching to grab anything you can to justify what you think is happening? It's the latter. That's not science. That's not journalism. That's just making things up to suit your narrative. How about this? How about multiple studies, including over 10 million people, found that asymptomatic transmission was basically non-existent? It was about 300 out of 10 million people. So to pretend like they're all just silent carriers is not aligned with the science, which they keep telling you to listen to.
Doctors say they're returning to other states, taking the virus with them.
Those are the least likely to show up for testing. And when those younger individuals infect older individuals or more vulnerable individuals.
Hypothetically, of course, you left out hypothetically, right? Of course they did.
That takes time.
Bottom line, health experts.
Right, that takes time. Cut off. I wonder what else she was going to say right there, right?
Let's say the falling figures in the South might be giving a false sense of security.
Do medical experts worry is emboldening those leaders who said this is a good idea to loosen restrictions?
We worry about if there's a perfect storm brewing. If we remember, this virus always takes 10 to 14 to 21 days to develop. We might just be seeing
10 to 14 to 21. Why not just say 10 to 21? They're just trying to adapt to the new claims.
The early effects of that right now.
Yeah, a lot of those southern states are also quite a bit.
God, call it a COVID conundrum. How embarrassing. And of course, here's what I said. It's hilarious and infuriating to watch them act confused about why this, when they have been shouting down the obvious answer to why this is now happening as fake news from the start, right? So if they're pointing and saying that's fake news, they know it's there. So they're refusing to acknowledge the possibility that what we said could be true. Shocking. We told you already why this is happening and you damn well know it. The solution is worse than the problem. That's what's happening. COVID impact on kids. And this has to do with masks in general. Remember, we talked about this in this article here in regard to does COVID cause MISC? This was something that they had no data whatsoever other than just correlation to argue that this was a multi inflammatory system issue. That's what it stands for. And what they're arguing, and they were then, is that this is being caused by COVID and that kids are getting it. Why? Well, because they had kids that got it and they claimed that they must have had COVID then. Well, that's all that we said. That's all that was there. And half of these kids were getting tested with a PCR test and some of them got nothing and just concluded, well, they must have had COVID then. And now we're coming back around this again. And I showed you during the show that what made the most sense to me is this was being caused by the masks. This was my opinion. We're talking about remember, we're talking about the idea of oral thrush, of periodontal disease, of systemic inflammation. All of this is being caused by systemic inflammation is what we're talking about here. Multi-system inflammatory syndrome. It says new U.S. research bolsters evidence that the serious inflammatory illness in children may be a delayed immune response from COVID-19. Bolster evidence. That's the same thing they said before. They're just pushing it out again. It may be, and you dig into it, and all it is correlation. That's it. Most kids with serious inflammatory illness had a mild initial case of COVID. Most, meaning some of them didn't. And that's all they have. And then you say it's an initial mild case, which means all they have is a PCR test and the sniffles, or nothing and a PCR test, right? This is what we're talking about. And of course, they're talking about MISC, despite the weird point that they don't really seem to name it. until you get way to the bottom and everything else. But that's what we're talking about here today. So it's frustrating how obvious it is that these things are leading to the illnesses that they're then justifying by COVID-19 and saying it's long haul COVID or it's some random new thing that's being caused by COVID way down the line, but only with kids though. Remember, there is an MIS-A for adults. So it's not just some kid thing. That's why it's only happening with kids. That's what they want you to think about this. They're misrepresenting the data to make whatever they can be COVID-19. That's my opinion, and the data seems to back that up quite clearly. But if you want to dive in more into this discussion again, you can watch this for yourself, read this, watch this for yourself and go over the last show because it's important. This is also where we get into the idea of the fact that in England, 60% of all their deaths, they tell us, from COVID were people that were disabled. Let's pretend like that's totally normal. But it is shifting, at least with the mandates itself. But remember, even in places where there are no longer mandates, such as where I am, many of these main stores are pushing this mandate still. They're making you do it on their own accord, which is against the law, by the way, but nobody cares. Breaking: Utah to lift statewide mask mandate April 10th. And as he points out, keep them coming. Just so you can get a quick update, currently no restrictions are the ones in gray. Sometimes restrictions are, looks like only South Carolina, and the rest are the orange is mandatory. I'm not going to list them all off of the podcast, but I will include the link for you guys to check out. It's easily, looks like, doesn't list the amount. I would say, half or close to it. And yet we still are acting like this is happening. Weird, just to wrap up the mask part of this before we finish on vaccines, something Orwell shared with me, and this is unnerving. And again, shows you that this was always meant to be forever. Whether or not we beat it back and stop it, this was meant to be forever. You don't have companies like this investing such incredible research and effort and time and money unless this was supposed to be forever. Mask to face. How we built AI that shows the face beneath the mask. This is not a joke. We're walking down the street, passing more and more people wearing face masks, and you're starting to wonder, what do they all look like under those masks? Good God. Yeah. Let's not pretend like that's not really unnerving that that's even something we're talking about. Yeah. What do those people actually look like underneath that piece of fabric they've jammed over their face? At least we on the STRV machine learning team had a thought. And being on the ML team, we quickly realized that the answer to our question is closer than it may seem. Want to know how we crafted the machine learning tool that virtually removes the mask from a person's face? This article will guide you through the whole process of crafting the deep learning machine learning tool. Right, wait, that was machine learning, right? Yeah, ML. It's weird they said deep learning machine learning tool. But the point is that this is meant to be something that you can carry with you, and I argue eventually be integrated into your machine brain interface to where you can just be like, oh, beep, I'm going to see what you look like without that mask. Because that's not scary at all. To train the deep learning model, we need a lot of data. Go figure. They need your personal face prints and your biometrics and, but it's not for anything nefarious. We just want to allow you to look at your mom or your child without that disgusting thing on their face. Because you have to, right? Because we all know it's for your best interest, right? Like, who actually believes this stuff out there right now? There's a lot of people wearing this, but I wonder how many of them really believe that this is saving their life while their teeth are falling out, while they're getting rashes around their face, while their breath is horrendous, while their gum disease is getting much worse, while a lot of things are happening, while they have a bacterial pneumonia cough, and they're going, this is keeping me healthy. God, I just don't understand it. There are many database sets of human faces. In this case, we need a lot of pairs of input and output images, your face. It is, of course, not practical to gather those, but it says we can do better than act much faster. There are many data sets already in place of your personal information, mainly for the training of face detection algorithms, by the government. So we'll just tap into your government personal information and we'll use that to benefit you. We can take a data set like this, paint a mask onto faces, and voila, we have an image we can use. Convolutional neural network. Weirdly, CNN. But to skip past all this, to not waste too much time on this, the point is now their current iteration, or at least how they see this beginning, is we define the architecture with the possible use of a mobile phones in our minds. Of course, the point, though, is that this is now. And then once this develops, well, of course, we're talking about deep artificial intelligence, machine learning, neural network stuff. And this is about your machine brain interface concept. Just to get a quick glimpse into your future. Good times. The future with masks 20 years from now that they're clearly planning for. But to jump over to the vaccine discussion, and I'll do my best to kind of ride through this quickly because I don't want to be this too, we're already at 2 hours. My intention today was to make sure this wasn't too long so the mask discussion wouldn't get buried, but I'm sure I'll make these clips nonetheless as I waste more time. Let's get into it. Now, this is from the Washington Examiner. The European Medicines Agency Safety Committee confirmed, which would be numerous people now, confirmed that the Oxford-AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine can cause blood clots. Confirmed. Now, even right now, we've got other mainstream going, but it's unconfirmed. This is what they found, but we're not sure. Like undermining it every way they can. But the benefits outweigh the risks of the thing we don't know about, right? Like, it's just painful how they're pandering to this. But it's confirmed. You know, the very thing that we were censored for, the very thing that Whitney was censored for, we're now confirming that this is dangerous. To what degree? Well, that you can decide for yourself, but that's a true statement. If it can cause blood clots, which can lead to a stroke, which can lead to your death, it's dangerous. Is it 1% dangerous or is it 100% dangerous? Well, that's for you to decide. But you see, they don't like when you make that call, when you realize this thing can be dangerous. So they try to pretend like we aren't really sure, but this is the, we have mainstream media reporting this and it's still being used and people are acting like it's not real. Despite the rare blood clots, the agency insisted that the benefits outweigh the risks. Unreal. And as we're pointing out again, AstraZeneca vaccine trials on children, in case you didn't know that was happening, by the way, vaccine trials on children has just been paused while the UK's medicine regulator investigates a possible link with rare blood clots in adults. Ah, so they started a trial on children while they knew there was an investigation for blood clots. Remember, this happened a long time ago. They've been researching and talking about this. Norway confirmed it. Germany said it was there. The Wall Street Journal reported the same thing. Meanwhile, they're going, we don't know for sure. And the benefits outweigh the risk of the thing we don't know, because that makes perfect sense. And then in the midst of all of this confusion, 30 plus countries suspending the, well, we're going to go ahead and just start testing on children because safety, you know, that makes sense. And they did that. Tested on children with a vaccine they don't need because they're not at risk from this thing, while they knew it was causing blood clots, while they knew that it was causing allergic reactions, while they knew that there was a lot of risk because they didn't test this properly, and on and on and on. On children that have a 0% chance. Anybody want to explain that? Why we even need to test or even give this or even consider vaccinating children? Well, because they're arguing asymptomatic, but that's not true. And we already know that's not true. And that's why they're quietly stepping around that, but still kind of be using that as the anchor for that argument. We don't know for sure. They could be. So the narrative is like they want with everything else, vaccinate the world. That's not healthy. That's for an agenda. Crazy. And as I said, oh, weird. I sure wish somebody had warned about this before they started experimenting on kids, children. Oh, that's right. Many of us did. And we were censored for medical misinformation. Go figure. As much as I'm making a joke out of it, guys, we warned about this. Multiple people. Del Bigtree, RFK Jr., all sorts of people. We said this is dangerous and can cause this because there's been it's been proven by different agencies and different governments. And they censored us for it. And now they're pausing the kid trials. But good thing we got started with it, though. What about the kids that already got one vaccine? Now what? It's just all about getting it in your arm at all costs, even the children. As Derek points out, and by the way, I asked this question when this first came out, back before he died. According to recent reports, DMX has died, passed away from... I forget what the actual stated cause was, but here's the interesting part. As I believe it was a stroke or some kind of a heart attack. But the first thing I asked was, okay, just logical question. Did he get that vaccine? It's currently causing strokes and heart attacks, right? That's not a conspiracy theory question as we're staring in the face of the confirmation that that's possible. But yet it's still people act like we're dumb for making that statement, despite them saying it can cause exactly what it seems he just suffered from. Think about that kind of cognitive dissonance, that kind of manipulation. It's staggering to me. But as Derek points out, DMX has been pronounced dead. The rumors have been swirling that he received the COVID vaccine recently. According to the IB Times, a family member confirmed he received it a week before his heart attack. DMX got the vaccine. This is a quote. When they opened it up for people over 50, he got it so he could be to go travel and perform, which makes sense. That's a family member stating this to the IBM Times. Got a heart attack after the COVID vaccine. That's what their family is saying. I'll leave it to you to research further, but realize this is getting a little impossible to ignore. People are dropping all over the place. They just confirmed that this is happening, that it is real in this one vaccine, and we're still dismissing the possibility that there's a risk. How does that even compare to the concept of safety, health? Latest VAERS data shows that vaccine injury trends continue. The CDC fails to report to the Defender's Inquiry, reported by the Defender. And of course, this is the group that was reaching out and saying, we would like you to follow up on these questions. What are your answers to this? This is dangerous. What's happening? No response whatsoever, because they don't feel like they have to, even though they're obligated to, you see, because they're not bound by any laws, rules, integrity. They do what they want while pretending to be people fighting for good things. The worst of the worst. I'm talking about the government, by the way. VAERS data released today shows 56,869 reports of adverse events following COVID vaccines. The VAERS, Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, that's created by the CDC. It's a government database. 56,869 reports of adverse events following COVID vaccines, including 2,342 deaths, 7,971 serious injuries between December 14, 2020 and April 1st, 2021. Now, if you simply take the data of how many vaccines have been given, and you compare that to the concept of somebody who is, you know, in the lower age categories, and realize on top of that, actually, I should have grabbed that just because I forgot that I was going to make this reference. Let me see if I still have that right here. Hey, perfect. So remember, and this is the point I'm making based on the title, is if we're taking this legitimately, and remember, this is a government document. Just do this really quickly since I have this saved on that one part, so you can see the beginning here about VAERS, conducted by Harvard, Pilgrim Health, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. What this document is pointing out, adverse events from drugs, this is found by the government and Harvard, adverse events from drugs and vaccines are in fact common, which by in and of itself contradicts what we're told every day, but underreported. But then the real point is likewise, fewer than 1% of vaccine adverse events are reported. Fewer than 1%. So when we're staring at 2,342 deaths, remember that you times that by 100, essentially, and that's your full number estimation based on what Harvard and the U.S. government found, right? Not a guarantee, okay? But nonetheless, it's exponentially more than what they're saying. So then you take that factor, that number, compare it to what somebody who is under 40 is at risk of, and it's quite clear that they're at a higher risk of adverse events from this vaccine than they are from what the stated numbers are in regard to COVID by the CDC. This is unbelievable that it's right in front of us. This is what it's like to actually read this, you know, follow the science as opposed to follow what they tell you the science is. And what we are seeing is a very obvious risk here. Oh, and I wanted to make sure I pointed out here that the Defender is currently under crazy censorship. Facebook, I believe, was even posting. They had little pop-ups that were saying, do you want to unfollow this platform? Like it's just so blatant how aggressively they're trying to go after people like this. You're asking people to unfollow a channel? It's just crazy. But so support RFK, support the Defender, because they're fighting for you. Here's as they usually include the image. You can see all the breakdown. As it says, of the 2,342 deaths reported as of April 1st, 28% occurred within 48 hours of the vaccination. 19% occurred within 24 hours. 42% occurred in people who became ill within 48 hours of being vaccinated. And your government doesn't care about any of this. They dismiss it and move forward. Here's another example. This is from April 6th. Teen diagnosed with Guillain-Barré weeks after first vaccine, COVID vaccine. Texas teenager diagnosed with Guillain-Barré syndrome, which is exactly what we saw after the swine flu fiasco. A few weeks after his first dose of COVID-19 vaccine, said he believes the vaccine is to blame, according to a local Houston news channel. Quote, I wanted to get the vaccine. I felt it was the right thing to do. I wanted to travel and enjoy my last summer before college. So like so many others, he was manipulated and coerced and lied to. And so he did it. And now he's suffering for it. A few weeks after receiving the vaccine, McGlaughlin became weak and had difficulty walking. He was admitted to the hospital where he was diagnosed with Guillain-Barré syndrome. That doesn't, I mean, we just understand that this is not how that just happens. It doesn't just show it with a week later, you're suddenly suffering from this. This is being caused by this, just like it was in regard to the swine flu previously. This is not a new reality. According to the National Institute of Health, one case of Guillain-Barré syndrome was reported in February in an 82-year-old woman who had already one dose of COVID vaccine, Pfizer's. So this is not even new in this occurrence of their vaccine rollout. But we're just going to continue to give it to kids and test it out, right? COVID vaccination sites close early after adverse reactions to Johnson & Johnson shot, which, by the way, is very comparable to the current one with AstraZeneca. I think that was it. I wasn't going to show anything in there. But the point is, we are literally seeing entire vaccination sites closed down because of adverse reactions. That's not normal. And a couple days later, more Johnson & Johnson vaccine clinics hit pause. I feel like they're using this to make fun of them because it's, you know, suspending is what it is. But I think Alex made this joke where it's like, I got paused from school today, right? No, you got suspended. They're trying to make it seem lighter, you know? Not the defender, but the mainstream. It says 18 people suffer reactions at a North Carolina site, 4 hospitalized. North Carolina paused 2 vaccine sites on Thursday as Colorado, Iowa, and Georgia also reported adverse reactions, but the CDC said no cause for concern. Of course not. We'll just continue to see these massive shifts that we've never seen before with any other vaccine rollout. We're going to act like it's all good and then just be like, well, all those terrible things happening are just a sign that it's working right. And you know what? Maybe that's actually the truth. Maybe it is working the way they want it to, and it's not healthy at all. That's the illusion. In any case, it's continuing. Here's another example. 246 fully vaccinated Michigan residents test positive for COVID, and 3 later die. Again, showing you that people, 246 people who are fully vaccinated, later test positive. But let's keep pretending like it'll stop transmission or stop you from getting sick, or the fact that maybe you want us to ask this as a possibility that there is a way that's causing you to get this thing. I'm not saying I have evidence of that. I'm not saying I even believe that just yet. But I'm seeing a lot of weird correlation there with Israel, thousands of people getting right after getting vaccinated. It's very strange. But 3 of them died, and we're still going, yeah, you know, keep going. It's all good. You all got sick anyway. 3 of you died anyway, but go ahead and get it, though. This is something that was shared on my Discord community, and I think I pointed this out in the past. This, I think it was Doom, one of the people in the comments section, but it says right here. Oh, here, let me close that real quick. He got an alert that says, emergency alert, free. And by the way, emergency? Really? An emergency alert to tell you that this vaccination site's open? How is that an emergency? Everything is happening under the guise of an emergency right now, even though we've never been further from what they're telling you we're in. Free COVID-19 vaccination site is now open at the former Gary Roosevelt High School. And it says, walk up or drive through for your free vaccine. No proof of residency required. Except that won't be free, of course, because it'll come out one way or the other down the line. But at the same point, it's drive-through. Drive-through. Are we really going to, are we pretending that that's not dangerous? That we have people that are keeling over right after having it? People that are getting anaphylactic shock within minutes of having this vaccine? We've reported countless examples of that. But sure, drive in here and get this. How about you're in a place where it's snowing? Yeah, drive into the snow, get your vaccine, and then drive home. It's all good. No worries. Because as long as you get that thing in your arm, we don't care what happens to you. This is not how this works. Now, arguably, they're talking about the point that there's some kind of 15-minute time. But realize that I've already talked to people. I was actually going to take a picture of one here where I live and show you one that there's basically nobody in the parking lot. There's like 3 cars and they're trying to act like something else is happening. But the point is that I talked to somebody that said that they don't have to wait. They just drove. They left. They jump in. They get it. They walk right out. So there's no, even if you're pretending there's a 15-minute wait afterward, nobody's making sure that's happening. No one's going to do it if you don't make them. So they're going to drive home and they might get an accident. And guess what? If they get an accident and die on the way home, we won't ever even know if it was because of the vaccine. Think about that. And we're seeing this continue to happen in real-world settings where people are at the hospital over and over and over. But yet, everywhere you look, you're going to find these drive-through vaccination efforts. Crazy. But don't worry, though. Pfizer vaccine is recommended, though. So AstraZeneca vaccine is killing people. So we'll just give you the Pfizer one instead. No big deal. but only for adults under 50. Even though before it was nobody could take this unless they were over 50. But it's all over the map now. Who cares? Just get a vaccine and we'll be good. Realize that they're telling you to take a different one now. What about the ones that got the AstraZeneca vaccine one already? Right? Now they need a second shot. Well, you're going to tell them to get the Pfizer one? Well, that's not healthy. That's not scientific. Or are you going to make them take the AstraZeneca vaccine again after you had just admitted that it could give them the blood clot? You see, it doesn't matter. There's no science around this in regard to just getting a vaccine in your arm at all costs. And they're already moving this to continue to use it with children, despite what we just talked about. Pfizer and BioNTech request, they're asking the regulatory agencies to allow them to use this for kids. To expand, look, they're not asking for approval, which would be, and if they got approval, well, then everybody could use it. No, they're asking to continue to use the emergency use so they can broaden it out to children. Why? They're not at risk. What in the world is happening here? Pfizer and BioNTech today requested amendments to the emergency use authorization. So now we're amending emergency authorization. What is this, legislation? How about it's supposed to be if we're in an emergency, we allow something to happen, but if we're not in an emergency, then it goes back to the way, you know, this is like everything before this, the previous coronavirus vaccines, it's going to emergency authorize, and then it's going to continue to be that way forever until it drifts in the background and we don't even see it anymore. That's what this is. They're going to broaden it out to everybody, and then it's just going to be what it is, which means there's no real, it's not approved. This should bother everybody immensely. To expand to the use of adolescents 12 to 15 years of age. Now, the idea of how this is being manipulated makes me sick because they are using this emergency use authorization against you when we're clearly not in the emergency they can pretend that we're in and using it to get this in the arms of children. And here's another coercive way how they're tricking children. This will probably make you really unhappy, so I recommend you sit down for this one. VR vaccine. VR vaccine is an immersive virtual reality experience.
Oi! Você voltou! Você voltou!
The nurse follows the action step by step through a second screen, right? So the person that they're seeing, the kid, is a little cartoon that's going to help them with some kind of mission. And the nurse is pretending to be that person on the other side. Watch.
Eu não posso acreditar. Primeiro, o pólen de gelo. É bem rapidinho. Vem cá, peraí. Pronto. Agora o fruto de fogo. Mas ó, vamos lá. Bem rapidinho.
Now the fire fruit.
Deixa eu pegar aqui.
This makes me physically ill. Right? So these kids are being tricked. They're tricking kids into getting this vaccine, and they're doing so without their knowledge, apparently. And they're doing, and at the end of the day, they don't need this. They don't need this thing. They're not at risk. It doesn't stop transmission. They can still catch it, or anybody can. And they're still making them do all the other things, including wearing masks that are putting them at further risk. So why are you pumping this in their arms? Why are we testing on children if they don't even need this? It actually makes me uncomfortable.
Vai, escudinho, vai, escudinho. Funciona, funciona, funciona. Obrigada, obrigada.
Now, again, ask yourself the question, if this was the greatest invention of all time that was saving your life, why would we need to manipulate people into using it? Well, regular booster vaccines are the future in battle with COVID-19, top genome expert says. Hold on. I feel like there was something I was missing here. Emergency use authorization for COVID-19 of adolescents. I'll go forward. I feel like there's a point that I was going to make there. In any case, this is where this is all going. Regular booster vaccines. They're the future. They keep saying this. They keep floating this out there while then simultaneously going, blah, 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 blah. The vaccine will give you life back and you can go on and live your normal life. But then this will bring it all back the way we had it before, though. But you'll have a couple days where you can pretend things are normal. That's the point. Booster vaccines. The battle of COVID-19. Exclusive. U.S. Army scientists are testing whether their new COVID vaccine candidate, a new one, did you hear about that? Which entered human trials this week, can serve as a universal booster shot for all other available coronavirus vaccines. Okay, that was the point. I'm glad this is, I knew it was in right here. So think about this. We are, this is not even approved in any sense. They're already asking for the extension expansion of that emergency authorization so they can start using it on children, even though it's still being tested, even on, by the way, it's right now being tested on children, right? Think about how crazy that is. They're testing it on kids now, wherever I had that link. Oh, well, I hate when I can't find that. Anyway, the point is they're testing on children now, or at least they're trying to. Where was that? I just pointed that. In any case, and they're trying to ask for the authorization to give it to them anyway while they haven't even conducted or finished the testing. It was AstraZeneca. Oh, it doesn't matter. Oh, that's right. It was right here. No, that wasn't it. Anyway, I waste too much time doing that. So they're asking for emergency use authorization to be expanded at the time when they're entering in new vaccines, right? This is a new COVID-19 vaccine candidate based on the same technology that they've emergency authorized, right? So understand that they're authorizing this under the claim of an emergency, that they're still experimental, and they haven't even approved it yet, but they're already jumping over that to make new ones based on technology that has yet to even be approved. Like, I want to make sure that's very clear. How do we know that this is actually safe? How do we know that mRNA technology is actually working the way that they want it to? We haven't even approved the first iteration of this, and they're already making new ones. How much you want to bet those also get emergency authorized? Mark my words. And right this moment, they're testing it on people. A new one. And by the way, you'll see that it's testing like normal, taking a long period of time, doing animal trials. It's funny how now that's okay, right? Now, the idea is that this is all happening around a system that was built to facilitate this. It has nothing to do with safety. They're rushing this stuff through. They're pushing these things out for obvious agendas. Why do we even need another COVID-19 vaccine? Because this is your future. They're building it towards the concept of a universal booster shot. And it's based on the same mRNA plug-and-play platform that we keep pointing out. Army scientists hope their COVID-19 vaccine will be a universal booster shot. Army scientists are testing whether their new COVID-19 vaccine candidate, which entered human trials this week, can serve as a universal booster shot for all other available coronavirus vaccines. Nearly 20% of Americans have already been fully vaccinated against COVID-19 using one of three authorized vaccines. Recognize that 20%, that's not even a quarter. Right? We're not even a fourth of the country through, and they've been pushing this aggressively for a really long time. There are places around the world that are way past that. Thank God Americans are not passive enough to just let this run right over them. And now this is also an indication of the false majority. If we only have 20%, realize that the vast majority of this country is very, very resistant to this. Which means despite the media acting like you weirdo in the fringe corner over there are the only one that is scared of this, they're lying to you. In fact, 80% of the country is clearly resistant to this. Just recognize that. But with public health experts and government officials anticipating the need for booster shots down the line, you see, how do they know that? Anticipating the need for something that we don't even know? Well, it's because that's what they wanted before this ever started. Scientists at the Walter Reed Army Institute, of course it's Walter Reed, research are examining whether their vaccine candidate can, quote, mix and match with others to enhance and prolong protection. Remember when the UK floated that idea way too early and acted like they were going to mix and match different vaccines and their own experts came out and said, that's ludicrous. There's no science for that. Well, guess what? Like they usually do, I think they let it slip. I think they let the narrative come out a little too early. It was always meant to be mix and match. It was always meant to be the plug and play mRNA platform because that's what this was all built around. That was put in place before this ever started. That's why on January 11th, China sent the genetic sequence on a computer to Moderna. And on by January 13th, 2 days later, they already had a vaccine and were already testing it. You can see that right on the Moderna website on their breakdown of how this all went. Explain for me how it's possible that 2 days later, they were already making a vaccine. The only way that's possible is if the mRNA plug and play platform was ready and they knew it and China knew it and the US government knew it. And they said, here we go. Here is the genetic code, not isolated, computerized genetic code. And that's what this is. Now we're getting to a point to where they're going to mix and match all of this and plug and play. And it's the same concept. And now what they're saying there is we can just use different vaccines and hopefully use this new one as an interchangeable booster for all of it. The Walter Reed vaccine called SPFN, just for those in case you want to keep an eye out for it. The Walter Reed vaccine, I shouldn't point out mistakes. I make them too. I just think it's funny when mainstream does it. The Walter Reed vaccine differs from those vaccines. It injects ready-made multifaceted proteins into the body, which may be able to prepare the immune system for different variants and strains of coronaviruses at once. So now they're altering even the technology, even though we have yet to prove this one works the way they want it to. We have yet to approve this technology even once, but we're already altering a technology for the next level. Let's pretend like this isn't entirely planned, guys. After months of studying their vaccine candidate in different animals, again, right, the very thing they wouldn't do before all this, before testing on you, Walter Reed scientists began their clinical trials in humans on Tuesday. The Army lab, at the same time, is researching whether its vaccine candidate can be used as a standalone vaccine, of course, because that's the point. But it will be interchangeable. And just recognize this is an army lab. It's always been a military operation, Operation Warp Speed. It's always been. This is your future. And it was planned before we got here. I mean, on that note, actually, remember, let me see if I even have that, if I can pull it up. Yep, there it is. I was just talking about this with Derek today. The roadmap. This is from the EC.EUROPA.EU, the Europa.EU. This is the European EU website. Right, I've talked about this before. This is completely legitimate. They're openly stating in this roadmap from 2018, mind you, that by 21 to 2022, commission proposal for a common vaccination card. So how exactly did they know this was going to begin between 2021 and 2022? Good question. In any case, the point is planning. That this has been gamed out in every possible way. There's more going on here than we could possibly understand. The point was, I believe Derek is considering writing an article about this specifically. Hopefully that comes to pass. In any case, plenty more coming in regard to vaccine passports, which are quite an unnerving discussion. But, and this is today, April 8th, just to show you the continuation from this topic, April 8th. A next-gen Army COVID vaccine you've never heard of has just begun human trials. Cool. Scientists believe it might combat deadly variants and even future pandemics. Exactly. How can it fight future pandemics if it's about this current one? Well, because that's the point. It's about an adaptable plug-and-play concept. It's not really about vaccines. It's about you and genetics and controlling that. But here's an interesting point. This is an article I pointed to a while back. A lot of information in this article. How mRNA technology could change the world. And they get into the whole rise of all this and how it went. And I want to point out just a couple of points here. First, recognize again, as I always point out, for more than 40 years, synthetic RNA couldn't do anything useful. They failed, and including exactly what they're doing now until exactly when they needed to do it. And all of them succeeded at the same time. I mean, I think we all know it's childish to believe that that's what actually happened. It's childish to believe the 9/11 story. It's childish to believe the JFK story. It's childish to believe any number of things we're led to believe by our government. To believe that they failed repeatedly and all simultaneously succeeded in different ways is a joke. But they want you to believe that it's just a miracle instead of planned. Faster. And then I said this the other day, just on a side point, malaria kills more than 400,000 people every year. That means malaria killed more people last year than COVID did. And even those numbers that we're being told, we know are actually incorrect because of PIC, because of the PCR test, and on and on and on. So where was the malaria pandemic, right? Context. Doesn't matter though. The malaria vaccine uses, and this is one they currently have, this is the same technology, uses a self-amplifying RNA or saRNA. So again, they're already adapting out from this, even though they haven't approved the first one. which is subtly distinct from the mRNA technology used by Moderna and Pfizer. The vaccines against COVID-19 work by injecting upfront all of the messenger RNA that you're going to get. But the self-amplifying RNA, like the one, their malaria one, is designed to replicate itself inside of our cells. Well, that's a little more alarming, isn't it? And that's exactly what I think they were careful to shy away from in regard to the mRNA discussion. And that's probably where they knew this would eventually evolve to. A self-replicating thing inside. And so this is the point, that maybe they'll argue that this eventually dissipates. It's sort of like they're doing with the mRNA. Well, no. It does this, and then it slowly goes away, and then it's never there. So it doesn't technically alter your DNA because it goes, well, this is so we're talking semantics now. Replicating itself inside your cells, quite a bit different. But you see, I think once they feel they've justified this current technology, they think we might not ask any questions going forward. This is interesting, though. This copy and paste function, weird. That's what they want. This is not a coincidence they keep using this terminology. Means, in theory, that each person needs only a tiny dose of vaccine to have a large immune response. So what happens if it replicates out of control? Isn't that what cancer is? Who cares? Just trust them as they experiment with your body. But under we make our own luck, even mRNA's biggest proponents concede the point. Now, this is what I want you to think in regard to the entire topic of universal booster shots or any of this thing they're trying to create of regular shots and using one to kind of continue to fight all pandemics. Here's what the experts actually say that they won't really share broadly outside of this discussion. It says, quote, "This is not a magic bullet." This is mRNA's biggest proponents, understand, the biggest people supporting this. It's not a magic bullet. It's not perfect for everything. This is Pfizer's per individual, Dor Mitzer. I forget what his title was. I read it earlier. Let's see. Shoot. I won't waste time finding it. But this is somebody who works with Pfizer. His partners at BioNTech concur. Right, so they agree with him. Quote, "I do not claim that mRNA is the holy grail for everything. We are going to find that there are diseases where mRNA is surprisingly successful and diseases where it's not. We have to prove it for each and every infectious disease one by one." Well, that's not what they want to hear. That's not how the HHSs and CDCs and, you know, Fauci's of the world are framing this, or the Pfizer's of the world are framing this. They're clearly trying to drive this in to be the next big medical boon where all of a sudden all they need to do is create one thing and then alter it slightly every time something new happens. No new safety testing, which I think really graceful pointed out. No new safety testing. They just get to plug in and play with the new current. That's what they're talking about here. But here are the experts that are telling you, no, we can't do that because it doesn't work for everything. We need to prove it works for each and every one. So explain for me how that makes sense with what they're currently pushing. It doesn't. Universal shot for all available coronavirus vaccines. That doesn't make sense. mRNA may not produce a great second act in the next decade or ever, they say, the experts. Quote, "The coronavirus might be one of the easiest vaccine targets we've seen in modern times." Get this, he says. "Just about everything we've thrown at it has worked." Craziest pandemic of the century. And it's just like, yeah, it was easy. Everything worked. It was over, done, you know, just like that. It's just funny to see the disconnect between the media fear-mongering and the reality. It's pathetic, but that's what they are. They're quite pathetic. But this is, it's just showing you that this is not what they're making it out to be. And as Alex points out, now the European regulators are doing the FDA's job for it, right? The FDA is supposed to be regulating this stuff and making sure it's safe. Well, now the European regulators are doing it for them, asking whether this the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, which works just like the AstraZeneca vaccine, might be causing similar problems, you know, blood clots. Four reports may not seem like many, but the Johnson & Johnson vaccine has been barely used in Europe. So they're saying they're investigating these cases of blood clots. Now it's the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Are we not seeing the waterfall here? These things are dangerous. They're causing adverse events, and your media is desperately trying to cover this up. Johnson, I mean, it's across the board, guys. So where's the FDA? Why aren't they pointing this out? Great point. Because they're not doing, let's put it this way to be very clear about it. Their job today is not what we think it is. Their job is to sell you drugs. That's what they've been co-opted. They've been captured. It's a captured agency. Same with the CDC. U.S. begins to study assessing allergy reactions to Pfizer and Moderna. No, what's this dated? June 2020? No, it's dated April 7th, 2021. So wait a minute. How are they beginning to study allergic reactions while we're giving the vaccine? Yeah, that's not a joke. So the NIH, National Institute of Health, has said it begun looking at why some people have suffered from allergic reactions after receiving, I can't even believe this, with, you know, I don't know, maybe it's the polyethylene glycol or the unsafe epitopes or the things that we've been talking about for 7 months. But now they're just like, maybe there's something here. Maybe we'll start studying this. I don't know. Maybe you should have done it when you were actually studying the safety and not after you gave the vaccine, justifying an emergency. You realize how insulting this is? This is the allergic reactions, the lady, the girl with the bee pollen we talked about, all these across the board, the discussion of the EpiPens. They were telling us to watch out for allergic reactions. And then when we started covering them, they said fake news. All we need to realize here is that they are literally studying the safety of allergic reactions from these vaccines while they're giving it to children, while they're giving it to your parents and your grandparents and everybody else, which means they don't know if they haven't studied it. Crazy. But trust the government, trust the mainstream media. It outweighs the risk and blah, blah, blah. Just go do what you're told. The risks that we don't know, that we haven't defined, and we know that the benefits outweigh that thing that we don't know. This is a choice to buy this. It's a choice to believe what they're telling you, despite how absurd it all is. If they're studying this stuff while they're giving it to you, how do you not see what's happening? And as he points out, they just casually tell us, by the way, we don't have data on allergic reactions to this thing that we're jabbing you with because we skipped proper trials. But now we're studying and recording them as more and more cases are uncovered. Exactly. Crazy. And the reality is that they're desperate because we see what's happening, because less than a quarter of people in this country are willing to do this. And so they're trying to coerce and manipulate. And of course, it's Samuel Adams beer. Beer brand Samuel Adams is offering fans a free beverage for getting their COVID vaccine as part of a new promotional campaign, right? Because beer goes so well with medications, right? This reeks of desperation, I said. Free donuts from Krispy Kreme, free waffles from the Waffle House, free beer from multiple beer companies. If you take this experimental injection that they keep screaming is supposed to save your life, huh? No. This is about something far more malign, to use their favorite new word. Not to say they haven't used it before, but all of a sudden I keep seeing malign all over the place. It just basically means evil. It's George Bush 2.0, evildoers, right? Everything's evil, right? It's not that they're just doing things that go against what you want. They're evil. Right, this is how they frame everything. Maniacs with no minds who just want to gas children and no mentality. It's all a bunch of fear-mongering and nonsense based on lies about all of this stuff, right? Are there people that are capable of that? Of course, your government does it all the time. But the reality is that the narratives they sell about people, or in this case, anyone they're using to call them a line, is just to frame them as literally the counter to all things good. It's just propaganda. But here we are, looking at something actually malign, using what you may like or manipulating you with things you feel comfortable about to coerce you into getting something that you should be willing to take if it's actually good for you. Of course, we now see that this is where it's actually leading, because if they're desperate, right? We're seeing how crazy it is, that all the reactions and everything that's coming out, and it's very clear if people are just willing to pay attention. So that's why they're continually trying to coerce you to get it done. But we all see where this is leading. Now, whether this is whether this is governments that will do this, or they'll allow individuals to force it in for them like they're doing with the mask mandates, we can see that they're rationalizing and justifying mandatory vaccination. As you can see here, France 24, obligatory jabs, quote, necessary in democratic society. According to the European Rights Court, a European court that's based on your rights is telling you that you have no rights. Because they're not really about your rights at all. Like, that's so insulting. Is it hard to look up that the international law around this, the reality that they don't have the right to coerce you based on the general society or scientific best, right? They don't get to say this, the need of society outweighs your needs. International law makes that clear. They don't get to coerce you and penalize you for not taking something. That also makes that clear. From UNESCO, from the United Nations, it's all very clear. But the European Union apparently wants to tell you that because you're in a democracy, which means mob rule, which means they manipulate that side of the mob to get you to do what they want, then it's just necessary for that society. Does that mean it's good? Does that mean it's right? Does that mean it's legal? Does that mean it's moral? No, it doesn't. But it sure is necessary, according to them. So whether they force this on you or they allow others to do so, this is where it's going. Care home staff to face compulsory COVID vaccination. You know, the same COVID vaccinations that we're seeing cause blood clots or seeing cause all sorts of reactions. Well, we're going to make staff take it. Why would you have to make staff take it? I thought they were heroes. I thought they all agreed with you. Apparently not. Can you begin to see the illusion crippling or crumbling, the illusion dissipating? They're falling apart. That's why they're pushing this in desperately. That's why they're going to create things like this, where it's not the government doing it, but it's still happening. Giants home opener welcomes fans who prove to be COVID free. Take a listen to this.
The stands.
But even if you have a ticket, you can't just walk in.
Even if you had a ticket, you can't just walk in. Not in the COVID clown world.
COVID, folks, and there are new rules. Crown Force Will Tran is live at Oracle with the details. Good morning, Will.
Don't you love that? New rules, right? Laws? No. Just rules that we're laying out arbitrarily based on what we want you to do that dictate everything you do in your life. It's the Great Reset. Just go along with it.
Looking more like a baseball player. Who's on that jersey?
Yeah, you're batting cleanup, Will?
Who is it?
Buster will be back. He took Gillespie. They will be allowed in. Are back in town, so to speak. They will be allowed inside the ballpark for the first time in about 18 months in about 4.5 hours from now. Here's what you need to know. You will be socially distanced. You will be required to wear your mask. In fact, the Giants, they gave out a video just so you can see for yourself how it's done. This is around April 6th, and they took their employees through the ballpark just to show the fans. This is what you will be required to do. Mask up anybody older than.
So don't go. Hashtag boycott the Giants. Hashtag boycott everything anywhere that makes you go through this kind of rigmarole to go through things that you have a right to do. Right? So you buy a ticket, but that's not enough. You have to prove that you've had a medical treatment to get inside, even though you bought a ticket. This cannot stand. I mean, I want these things to be crippled. If they are making this happen, they should lose everything because they're putting their opinions, they're putting their righteous mentality over you, which is their business. They are literally willing to hurt themselves to virtue signal to some greater entity. Doesn't that make you sick? It makes me angry. I mean, this is the equivalent of Gillette making a commercial about anti-masculinity. Your entire customer base are men. I don't know how that business is even still in existence today. The point is that this is happening everywhere. These people have no right to force you to justify. I mean, this is your personal medical information. It just bothers me.
2 years old, keep your mask on unless you're eating or drinking, and they are requiring you to make sure that you are fully vaccinated or test negative for COVID-19.
Which, by the way, remember that you can still spread it, you can still catch it. So what's the point? Why does that make a difference to anything if you can still spread it and you can still catch it? Right? No, it's obscenely ridiculous. And we all see that. Nobody's trying to explain that. Just do it anyway. Right? Why do you need to prove you've had it if you can still spread it and catch it? And you still have to wear your mask and you still have to distance and on and on and on. It's only at 15% capacity because of social distancing. They have to prove they've had it. Hold on.
In 3 days, this is what you will be required to do. And they are requiring you to make sure that you are eating or drinking. And they are requiring.
There was something I thought I heard there.
To make sure that you are fully vaccinated or test negative for COVID-19 3 days before the game that you are going.
See, that doesn't make sense either because the test, some of these tests, the antigen test is only valid for half a day or something, or like 3 hours. It was ridiculous. But even the test, we're talking about a PCR test, which they admit has a high, even the CDC, a 30% false positive, which we know it's actually much, much, much higher than that. So they know that's possible, but they're okay you having a test that says you're negative just so you can go in. It's arbitrary. It's just about compliance. So they're okay with a 30% chance that you could still kill everybody, right? That's okay, though. That's their narrative, understand, not what I'm thinking. It's just ridiculous. And here is the last part that we'll finish with. And this is very, very, very important. This is another doctor, funny enough, who posted this on my birthday. Oops, hold on. I want to lose all that stuff. On my birthday. Now listen to what this person has to say. Now I find it very funny that they have to make this very clear. Now this is why when I read this the first time, one of the first rapid responses, I made it very clear to everybody what a rapid response was. No, this is not published by the British Medical Journal. It is a response by somebody involved, like a doctor or people that are engaged with this platform, right? So it's a doctor reaching out to this, and I'll read through what they have to say. But what they had to point out, because people, look, important editorial notice, this is a rapid response online comment by a third party and not an article in the BMJ. It is attributed in a misleading way on certain websites. Why do they have to add that? Right? I mean, so if I take any kind of article anywhere and just misrepresent on a website, do they then suddenly add some kind of disclaimer? No, it's because they're desperate to maintain this narrative. And they don't want, I mean, and you'll see what this person says. This is valid. Whether or not it's posted by the British Medical Journal, this is a doctor reaching out about exactly the concerns we all have. And they just don't want you to be able to use that in any valid way. They want to dismiss it somehow and be like, well, that wasn't actually a real, so what? It's a doctor in opinion. As he says, I have had more vaccines in my life than most people and come from a place of significant personal and professional experience in relation to this pandemic, having managed a service during the first two waves and on and on. Nevertheless, what I am currently struggling with is the failure to report the reality of the morbidity caused by our current vaccination program within the health service and staff population. Specifically, health service and staff, not everybody normally, but just in healthcare workers. It says the level of sickness after vaccination is unprecedented. And staff are getting very sick and some with neurological symptoms, which is having a huge impact on the health service function. I mean, think about that even. We're talking about the very people that are supposed to help keep you healthy, and they're the ones getting sick themselves. So it adds to everybody continuing to get sick. Even the health and young and healthy are off for days, some for weeks, and some requiring medical treatment. I don't know how this is even being rationalized as normal. It's because they're hiding the big picture. If we saw how many people are actually dealing with this, it would be unbelievable. Most of them are afraid to point it out because they don't want to be attacked. It says whole teams are being taken out as they went to get vaccinated together. We've already seen this. Entire hospitals being closed down, shut down temporarily because of the vaccine side effects. How is this even possibly normal, guys? It's not. Mandatory, and that's why this doctor's reaching out. Mandatory vaccination in this instance is stupid, unethical, and irresponsible when it comes to protecting our staff and public health. We are in the voluntary phase of vaccination, and encouraging staff to take an unlicensed product that is impacting on their immediate health. And I have direct experience of staff contracting COVID after vaccination and probably transmitting it. In fact, it is clearly stated that these vaccine products do not offer immunity or stop transmission, in which case, why are we doing it? There is no longitudinal safety data, a couple of months of trial data at best, available, and these products are only under emergency licensing. What is to say that there are no longitudinal adverse effects that may put the entire health sector at risk, right? This is the point of when saying the risks, the benefits outweigh the risks. We don't even know the risks. We don't know the long-term side effects, period, because we haven't seen them. We don't know the testing, neither the safety trials nor the real-world experimentation has gone long enough for us to truly know what we would know if they had done the normal process of a safety trial. So when you say the risks are less than the benefits, we don't even know the risks. So they're lying to you. And the worst part is they know that. Coercion and mandating medical treatment on our staff, of members of the public, especially when treatments are That was weird. I thought I misread it. Of members of the public, especially when treatments are still in the experimental phase. Experimental phase. It's important to make sure people believe that that is the truth. Funny how people will scream, "That's not experimental." Here's the NIH, January 12th, experimental coronavirus vaccine, highly effective. This is the Moderna vaccine. That's the one. They're calling it experimental on their website in 2021. And people are still screaming, "It's not experimental," because they're blinded by propaganda. Are firmly, it says, coercion and the mandating medical treatments on our staff of members of the public, especially when treatments are still in the experimental phase, are firmly in the realms of a totalitarian Nazi dystopia and fall far outside of our ethical values as the guardians of health. I would never debase myself and agree that we should abandon our liberal principles and the international stance on bodily sovereignty, free informed choice and human rights, and support unprecedented coercion of professionals, patients, and people to have experimental treatments with limited safety data. This and the policies that go with this are more of a danger to our society than anything else we've faced over the last year. This, what's happened to my body, my choice. It's funny how nobody wants to acknowledge how embarrassing that contradiction is. What has happened to scientific and open debate? If I don't prescribe an antibiotic to a patient who doesn't need it, as they are healthy, am I anti-antibiotics or an antibiotic denier? Is there not time that people truly thought about what is happening to us and where all of this is taking us? Is it not time that people thought truly about this and where it's taking us? I couldn't agree more. But they, you know, who doesn't want that to happen? The media, your government. They are desperate to make sure that you do not have that conversation, that you don't sit back and go, "Wait a minute, there's plenty happening here for me to realize that they're lying to me, that we're being deceived, that there's something else happening underneath all of this." It's just about choosing to look at the facts. It's all there for you. Every single time when I'm done with this show, I will put every single link that you saw, every single one you see at the top of there, except for the ones at the very end that I didn't go over, will be included in the show notes on the article itself every single time. So you can go through, read them for yourselves, understand them. And if you actually do that, you will walk away realizing that we were right. Not about every single thing I ever said, but about the reality that we are being deceived, that there is a lot happening around COVID-19, the agenda here that was planned, that was organized, that was abused. And at the very least, the last thing that they're caring about with all of this from the top down is your health, because every action they're taking is making you at more, putting you at more risk across the board. All we can do is keep spreading the information. That's all we can do. So thank you today for I believe it was Eric this time, allowing us to pirate the stream onto YouTube. So if you're watching there right now, it's because we are continuing to pirate this stream onto YouTube. And we're going to continue to use different channels and just keep punching it through just to keep getting it out there. And they'll probably delete here and there, but we don't care about it anymore. It's not about getting the views on YouTube. It's about punching it through to get people to see it. So hopefully everybody out there watching right now is going somewhere else. I know a lot of people are still on the YouTube platform because of some of the things it still provides, but don't worry, that will be changing by the end of this month. And then hopefully we can get the entire grouping to move over to the new platform, which will be coming quite soon. But they see the writing on the wall, and that's why they're desperately censoring people that are pointing out facts. Couldn't be more clear. I love you all. Thank you for being here. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.